Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Well, let's see what's going on here. Def Frat Guy's coming in. He's bringing his potato gun. Tell us when he doesn't bring his potato gun. That's news. He travels not only with a full-size, it's about a 5.5, 6-footer that he uses, but he also has a little Derringer one in his sock.
He
single
has to.
Shot, yeah. Shoots one...
A spud?
One single, well, tater tot. So a single tater tot. It's not going to stop a large man, but it'll slow him down. It'll slow him down. Only thing worse than the repeat guy is to say it once, laugh, and then say it again guy.
And then finish it with, oh boy, does he.
Oh boy. I'll tell you what, he pulls that potato gun out, you cannot run fast enough. So Def Rat Guy is coming in. We'll we're going to talk to an FBI investigator, Clint Van Zandt.
Yeah,
when Clint Van Zandt is on the case, yeah, it's getting done. They're nipping at the heels of the guy who actually killed JonBenet Ramsey. I know they are. They just can't share that information. You know, it's one of these things where you just... I used to assume that, 80-90% of the murders just got solved from watching. You grow up, hopefully, you don't have a situation where somebody, a family member was murdered or a schoolmate or something. So all you know of murder really is what you see in the movies and TV. And it's always a tough, you know, it's a tough 92, 93 minutes, but eventually they catch up to the guy. Then you grow up and you go outdoors and you start seeing these, you know, cases, JonBenet or what have you, and you realize, oh, they never solved. They only solved the drive-bys. They solved the ones where the 16-year-old is drunk on night train and he fires a bunch of shots, and then a block later he starts firing at a cop car, and eventually the SWAT team rolls in and they get that guy. But it seems like now, and once in a while you see something pop up on 48 Hours where some doctor tries to poison his wife, puts a little something in her adrenaline syringe or something like that. But for the most part, when someone just comes in and kills somebody, it doesn't seem like they get to the bottom of it.
No, we're used to shows like the one on HBO that we love, the
Dr. Bodden.
Autopsy, yes, with Dr. Michael Bodden, the world-class coroner. And then combine that with that show Cold Case, which would have you believe that they're out solving crimes that happened 27 years ago.
Yeah.
But in fact, they say 10 or 15% of all crimes committed, actually,
well, Dave,
those people are convicted.
Look no further than my own neighborhood with 86 registered sex offenders.
Yeah.
And you get a whole new
80s.
Outlook.
Yeah. Having your hands registered, very cool. Having your penis registered, not such a great thing.
That's a good point.
Sad, isn't it?
Do you live in next to a prison or something? How is it conceivable that you have 85 convicted? Dave, now, by these are people that are convicted of sex crimes.
And they must register, and I'll make it brief, but let's just say I was up until the wee hours because I went on that stupid Megan's Law website that Brian told us about, and then I had to look up all 86 offenders.
Oh, because you could look at their pictures,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what kind of tattoos they have and what they did. Now, yeah. I don't mind one forcible rape. That could have been a fluke.
Yeah,
but if you
sure.
have two, I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rape me once, shame on you.
Right. That's what my grandfather used to say. Well, here's the deal. 86, and again, this is a 1 mile radius around your home?
Yes, within 1 mile of my home. The website allows you to check half a mile, 3/4 mile, 1 and 2 miles. And Brian was kind enough to check within a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the
this is 86 within a mile.
Yes.
Wow. I was driving, you know, not to your house, but by your house the other day, and I crossed right over that blue line into what we call the DMZ, and there's a lot of pedophiles and rapists just hanging out just to the inside of it. So it's a border, if you will, for pedophiles. They live right there on the border.
Oh, they
call it
free.
They call it Teresa Jason.
Sure. And by the way, the website provides you a big red check if the person is in violation, meaning they haven't registered or somehow they haven't checked in with their parole officer, and they're all filled with red checks.
Well, I got to say, I don't like it. I think it's a slippery slope. Sure, first we're registering sex offenders, but how long until we're all assigned a number?
Right.
Huh? And then the man is following us around, and we have to check in before we enter our home. Let's just say I want to give my daughter a bath. I can't do it without some jackbooted thug standing next to him. That's why. It seems like it's a great idea to register sex offenders, but where does it end? I love when people do that. I think it'll stop at people that actually attack people sexually.
Right, and we're convicted of
that
crime.
Where you think so naive, David. So naive that you don't think everyone is going to be registered. We're all going to get numbers and gray jumpsuits. Sure. Now it's a bank. It's a bank camera or surveillance camera in a convenience store. But you think that's where it stops? Government's not going to rest till we all have nanny cams in every part of our house. It's all going into one big gray building. Black helicopters over it and jackbooted thugs watching every move. To me, I know I always get back to this, but could there be a more grandiose thought than you, John Q. Peon, that the government is really interested in what you're up to, if in fact you're up to nothing? You who plays a little rotisserie baseball, visits your ailing mom every other weekend at the home, and basically eats Salisbury steak frozen dinner every night and masturbates yourself into bed every night. Do we really think the government is so interested, other than getting your tax revenue, so interested in what you're up to?
That's
the part. It's very narcissistic, and they never admit it. They never work the narcissistic angle. Nobody cares. Everyone, please. All you out there, you're a number. We don't care about you.
The government doesn't even care if you've been convicted of a sex crime. All of these people are in violation.
Yeah, well, like I said, slippery slope. This is where it begins. Point is I want everyone registered for everything. I want a DNA bank of everyone. I want this all done. I want the guy. It's a new kind of war. It's a technology war. And it's sort of like we talked about, like in sports, you know, as soon as they had instant replay in football and they could find out where the guy's foot hit the line or not, boom, bring it in. And I'm satisfied. It's like we're talking about with the lie detector test. I want this JonBenet guy, put him in the Thailand MRI machine, let him figure out if he's innocent or guilty, have his DNA on file somewhere, and we don't have to put him on an airplane. I'd like him locked up anyway. I mean, it takes all the guesswork out of this stuff. And if, in fact, his DNA doesn't match up, and his DNA doesn't match up,
if I may counter with your own analogy that you're laying out there, neither the lie detector nor the NFL replay works. So there's the answer to that.
The NFL replay works.
No, it doesn't.
It's clumsily applied, but it's very satisfying 95% of the time when you're home watching to know if the guy's foot was inbounds or outbounds.
It's more frustrating to know that they have the technology at their resources and still misuse it. Exactly what our government would do if they start tapping into all of our private lives and conversations.
We're changing gears here, but the NFL replay is used quite a bit, and every once in a while there's a play that, because of the tuck rule or because of some just bad, I guess you would call it, human error in applying it, stands out like a beacon of light of reasons why it's not going to work. But 95% of them, the call is made correctly. I mean, it helps out with that.
Let me tie it all in with my fantasy league of sexual offenders. I'm drafting from within my own neighborhood.
Rotisserie pedophiles. All I'm saying is when we do, and it would have been awesome if John Mark over there, whatever his name
Carr.
Is, John Mark Carr, Carr Mark. Wait, if this guy, all is forgiven. We brought the guy in. It would have been awesome if his DNA matched up, but it didn't. And it wasn't. There's no conspiracy. Would have been really cool and gratifying for the Boulder DA or whoever to say, oh, yeah, we got our guy. It's been 10 years, but we caught our man. Now, this will be the last you hear of this. Now, he wasn't, and it all comes out. I, you know, people say, well, as soon as the government gets hold of this information, then they'll just do with it what they please. I don't think they're smart enough to really pull off a good conspiracy. As we've seen, he gets brought in. Nobody looked guiltier. You know, the nation was dying for this guy to be guilty and go to prison or get the death sentence. And now, not. Sorry.
Well, Clint Van Zandt, the FBI guy, when we had him on before, made the point that in these kind of cases, somebody within the family or close to the family is something like 14 times more likely to have committed the crime than a stranger.
Well, now you're profiling, and you know what that leads to.
What?
Arrest. Idiots. Of course. All right, anyway, where were we? So, Teresa has 86 registered sex offenders within 1 mile of her home. If you guys can beat that...
Wow,
we got prizes. Yeah, that's tall, but maybe we'll get a ringer calling in from prison or Fire Island or
something. We don't know what.
We'll work it out.
Now, are we excluding or including the people if they call in and they are, in fact, one of the sex offenders on their block?
That's fine with me, but you can't count yourself.
That's what I'm asking. Okay, I see.
So if it's 86, but you're number 52... It doesn't count.
It's like, yeah, it's like voting for yourself in the high school presidential elections. It's just bad form.
It's bad form. It's considered poor taste.
And if people want to find out, they can go to meganslaw.gov, or is that the name of the site, Brian?
Meganslaw.ca.gov.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So you go there, find out, and you're going to be hard-pressed to do better than 86. But if you do, we'll get a gift for you, and we'll drop it off via helicopter.
We'll just throw
not
the mace down
foot in your neighborhood. Yes, just open your chimney, and just like Santa Claus, something will come down. Yes. Well, what we'll do is we'll fire in a couple of rounds, just smoke pods, just to create, and then we'll lay down a little cover. We're not going to be shooting neighbors, just laying down a little cover, and then I'll go in shoulder rolling all the way, and I'll drop you off your gift, and then we'll just be airlifted out of there. All right, I'm going to be amazed and delighted if someone beats you, and I will be delighted if no one comes close. Those are my two scenarios.
If you live in Washington, I believe they also have a sex offender website, so you can try to beat me. I mean, try, but yeah. I don't know if you can.
Got to do better. So go to that website. I guess you put your address in,
yeah.
And it tells you, again, it's the 1 mile radius. So let's work this out here. We got that. We got news. We got sports. We got our FBI investigator / profiler. Oh, British actor Jason Statham.
Statham.
Transporter. Snatch. And also the Italian Job, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And guys, the girls. He's one of these fellows that all the girls in the office are swooning over.
Well, he's good looking, and he has that great sort of Brit accent and a sort of street smart whatever. He's a ass kicker. So he's coming in. Also, I said deaf rat guy. So what do you want to call for here, Brusky? You want to get those, or should we work the big tad? Well, direction here.
Yeah, let's do the if anyone could beat 86 sex offenders, would be a remarkable feat.
Nice.
And I wouldn't mind ordering a pizza.
But you know, Brusca, that might take people a little while to get going.
Let's
with
get that website out again, Brian. What's that website so people can
California
look
it's meganslaw.ca.gov. meganslaw.ca.gov. Hit that.
Can I ask this? If you're in another state, would you do meganslaw.nevada.gov?
It's state to state. I don't know if Nevada has it, for example, but I was talking to a friend from Seattle, and she mentioned specifically that they do have such a site.
A Megan's Law.
Similar to that. You have to Google it. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Apologize.
All right, so you have to find your local whatever version of that is, but I'm sure every major city or every state has one.
Brian, our human Google.
Yeah, great. Doesn't translate into an ounce of tang, though. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Call 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
A restaurant review with the deaf frat guy.
Today's review, French Laundry in San Francisco. This countryside cottage is home to outstanding dinner theater in the best sense of the phrase. The service is a ballet, and the food a symphony of exquisite-tasting meals in which magnificent French New American cuisine is paired with stunning wines by sommeliers who read minds. I hope the blonde chick who waited on me couldn't read my mind. All I could think of was how she'd look in a wet T-shirt contest. It was way hot, dude. My review on the French Laundry. More food, less food. Overall, I give it 5 potato gun blasts.
very rare five potato gun salute from Def Rat Guy.
Place is going to see a boost in business.
Sure, there's a line around the block right now. Yeah, he seems to more food, less tood seems to end most of his, like Ozzy's, you know, with the leftist reviewer called. We were speaking before we went to break about registered sex offenders and how many in your neighborhood. We went and went around here. I don't have any. Brusket doesn't have any. There was a couple folks on the staff who had people around their house. It's a 1 mile radius. Teresa Strasser, 86. If you go to our website, adamcarolla.com, I think there's some links on there, something you can find out, whatever the Megan's Law site is in your neighborhood, and find out who's registered over there. Brian, you want to give a quick recap?
Yeah, just a quick recap. The website is meganslaw.ca.gov, california.gov, and you can put in your address and find all the sex offenders within 1 mile. Teresa Strasser, by a long shot, the runaway winner, 86 within 1 mile. More than the rest of the staff combined. Mike Dawson barely holds a candle with 27 in his neighborhood, followed by Dave Damashek and myself in Culver City.
All right, let's... and again, go to our website, and you can figure out what website to punch in if you're not in the state of California. Aaron?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, Adam.
Wow. I see how many you have up here, but you tell us.
I've got more creeps than Teresa does, that's for sure. I've got 103.
Wow. 103 registered sex offenders. Is that within 1 mile?
Yes, it is.
Wow, so you're into the triple digits.
Yep. Mazel tov.
I would suggest that you go out and rape somebody today just to join the ranks. You know, my feeling, well, all I'm saying is if you're living in an all-black neighborhood, you better start watching hoops.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's not going to work. You watching playing cricket on your front lawn, it's going to get your ass kicked.
Can we ask where he lives?
Long Beach, yeah.
That makes sense.
90802.
He's in the LBC.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
well,
how they roll.
Well, 103. That
can
is how they roll.
Can anybody beat 103?
Well, I think they can because DJ with the bad cell phone up here says 173. Hold on, Aaron. You're not out of this yet. DJ?
Yeah.
173.
Yep.
Within 1 mile of your residence.
Yeah, well, what happens is when they let all the sex offenders out of prison, they have nowhere to go, so they're all staying in these really bad hotels, and they're all within a mile of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what's
like
your
sex
excuse?
Offender Central.
Either way, I'm dropping the kids off this weekend. It's time they learn what it was like outside.
Well, yeah, when I have kids, I'm definitely moving.
Sure.
What neighborhood?
It's in Phoenix, Arizona, just downtown.
Mm-hmm. So if they linked hands, they could make a 1 mile perimeter around your dwelling, no problem. Scary. Brian, you have something to say?
Yeah, DJ calling from Phoenix, actually. Apparently, the Arizona government has one, too. Go to az.gov, and you can search offender. And it's kind of a long extension, but easy to find at az.gov.
Thank you for that. So, DJ, you are the clubhouse leader, 173, although...
Well, that's unbeatable.
Yes. Do not start eating those Hooter chicken wings just yet because we need verification. Let it be known that although we believe you, we don't trust you. You'll have to, if you really want to win this competition, we're going to need a piece of mail with your address on it, photocopy, I guess, of your driver's license, and then we'll do the mail.
And also a little girl's panties.
thank you.
He's in Phoenix. I generally find, particularly in the summer months, it is far too hot to molest little children.
Yeah.
But DJ,
are you
one of the molesters?
Like, when I was 21, I had sexual misconduct with a 16-year-old,
All right. Oh, interesting.
That, are you a sex offender with the, is the close cousin to the, where are you going to college? Well, right now. Currently? Where am I going now?
Right now? Am I molesting a child as we speak?
Not this second.
There was an incident.
I had to put down the 2-year-old and pick up the phone, but...
I've dabbled, sure. Yeah.
So, DJ, you had sex with a minor when you were 21.
Yeah.
How do those laws work where the chick says, well, first off, do 17-year-old or 16-year-old women look any different than 18-year-old women, especially since it varies from woman to woman? I imagine Janet Reno at 18 looked like she was well into her 40s. And then there's Kate Hudson, who at 18 looked like she was 9. But how the hell do you tell? And then you ask, or you don't. You just go to some club, especially if they have a fake ID. Like, if you're in a club and the club is checking IDs and you meet a 16-year-old inside the confines of the club that is checking for IDs and someone's drinking, do you ask for their ID? I mean, when I was 19, 18, 19, 20, and I would go out, try to pick up chicks, I never asked to see anyone's ID. I just thought, well, she's smoking and she has a Zima in her hand, I guess she's good to go.
Well, is that the way it went down with DJ,
let's
or
find
is this
out.
A separate story? Is this?
Oh no, he raped a 4-year-old.
DJ, yeah, it's all gay.
Men are more of a challenge to rape anyway, so I don't bother with little kids.
Oh, come on. Oh, you want a challenge? The ultimate rape prey, man. Oh, sure, raping a buffalo or raping a puma can be a challenge, but the ultimate prey? Man.
Well, was that your girlfriend back when you were 21, or what happened,
well,
DJ?
Well, she actually, the reason I got busted is because she ran away from her house and I didn't really know it because she was just staying over every now and then.
Uh-oh.
So,
okay, so
we're looking for her, then
you essentially
know.
You had sex with an underage with a minor, but she was 16.
Yeah, well, I knew she was underage. I thought she was 17, but that's not really a big deal.
All right. Here's the point. Are you counting yourself amongst the 173?
Well, yeah, I guess it'd be 172.
What did we say, DJ? We made
Sorry.
It clear.
Well, that's all right. Your 172 is now the high water mark.
Well, see, I'm only a level 1, which is really low risk. Mm. But you have a lot of level 3s there, which are the actual child molesting guys.
Right.
You get nothing. You lose.
How many levels does it go to?
No, there's just three. There's just one, two, three.
Just three. It'll be nice when you meet the family of your next lady and you guys are talking about marriage proposals and things like that when you explain the level system to pops. Now, I'm a level one offender. You know, guys are, let's say, you bang a 15-year-old or you show a 9-year-old you're ding-a-ling in the park. That's level one stuff. Hands off, mainly.
Low risk.
I have my dork out under the table right now.
Do you have a new lady, DJ?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a new lady?
Yeah, I have a fiance.
And have you explained this story to her?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, because she figured she'd find out. All right, Brian, DJ, hang on. Brian, you hang on, too. But DJ, hang on, because like I said, and like we discussed, you have to deduct yourself if you're on the list. If you're, you know, you're always going to be within 1 mile of yourself. Heavy. 172. 173 is what it says. 172. You deduct yourself. Brian, you have some information?
Once again, yeah, our crack website team is way ahead of us. All of the sex offender links are now on adamcarolla.com for all of our markets. So head over to adamcarolla.com. Check out your state.
See, we have a bus driver who, I can't figure out what's going on with him. We'll try talking to him.
Hey,
Lance?
What's going on, Ace?
What's happening, Lance?
Nothing much. The story is, you know, that site came out a couple years ago, and my cousin told my wife, hey, look on the site and, you know, see how the neighborhood is. Mm-hmm. But we only had, like, three people. So, you know, a nice neighborhood. The one person that we had on there's a guy who painted our house 3 times. He did our hardwood floors. The guy used to come over for dinner, so my wife puts on the site, and this guy's head pops up. Boom.
Wow.
And my wife almost falls out of her chair, you know? And it's like, I didn't know. So we had to call the guy. He was going to do some work in our house. We had to call him over, and he said it was something that happened between him and his ex-girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. And his lawyer was supposed to clear it up, but it still hadn't got cleared up. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, it was scary when you see some guy's picture pops up there, and this guy's been working on your house for a couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
And he's been around your kids and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, holy smokes, man.
But he was reliable, and his prices were competitive, so they had him back to do the roof job.
Hey, we're good. Did great wood hardwood floor.
I got to tell you, if I found out, well, the guy's honest, he's not a gouger, and he shows up on time and he finishes the job, he has a history of pedophilia. Listen, I'm not judging. Come on down.
Does that affect the drywall?
You just got to watch him while he works. Just make sure he's not going in your drawers.
Do a clean job on that Winnie the Pooh wallpaper in the nursery, and all's forgiven.
Yeah, just as long as the price is right, right?
Yeah, so you go on the website, and this must have happened thousands of times now since these websites have come up, that people must hop on there and see guys they've dated or are currently dating, or guys that are cleaning their pools, or even worse, looking after their kids, working at the school, whatever. So you then confronted him on this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to, because my wife would have knocked him through the wall. See, Adam, I'm married to a Polynesian woman, a Samoan woman.
Oh,
and
oh.
She's tougher than
if
most men.
If, in fact,
men.
It's a woman. Yes.
Well, a beautiful woman, but
huge calves.
Her,
yeah.
her brothers are Russian wrestlers. And
shocking.
Brothers, and so, you know what?
Normally
accountants. You got to check them at the door.
Okay.
Check them at the door.
That's good.
But, you know.
I wish my wife would do my bidding. You know, you're in bed at night. Yes, you're married to a nice Polynesian woman with the huge calves. And there's a, you hear a window break downstairs. Go check it out.
Sweetie, that. Get up.
Sweetie, get up and you hear her come downstairs. Boom, boom,
but
boom.
If I'm not mistaken, he just said that his brother-in-law is Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Professional wrestler.
Sounded like that's what he was getting at. So, where are we? Still 172 is at the top of our list. See, T, you don't feel so bad anymore, do you?
No, I feel a lot better.
Micah?
Yeah, what's going on, Adam?
You found your uncle on the list?
Okay. Mm. Here's the story. About a year ago, my family, something went on, and my uncle went to jail in Michigan. And mm-hmm. my parents found out it was for child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, they tried to cover it up, keep it all hush-hush. My brother, I live in Las Vegas. My brother's a cop here, and he calls me one day, and he's like, dude, when you go home, you got to go to the Michigan Sex Offender Registry. He says, Uncle David is on there. Check it out. And sure enough, I went on there. His picture's up.
Uncle David.
Is this Brandon? Hitler was right, and I love little boys.
Listen, I love this stuff. I love us using technology to expose, keep track of, punish, embarrass the guys that do this. Let's face it. You've gotten out of line. You've done about the worst thing you can do as a member of society.
You should have been put down, as you've said many times, Adam.
Yes, you've put a wet thumb up our future. That's what you've done, essentially. You've taken children, who are our future, and you've gone after them with your filthy digits. And now... your grubby, stubby digits. And now we would like you not only... I shamed. I missed the shame part of society. I missed the scarlet letter stuff and the stuff where you get put in the stocks in the middle of town and we flog you and turn our noses up at you. That's what we need. And this is it. This is our modern computerized version of you being put in the stocks in the center of town and have everyone just walk past you. I like that. And... other than the shame factor, there's certainly a practical matter here. Because these folks, look, if this is something you think is a good idea, it's not going away. This thing where, I like looking at some child pornography, but that's just a weekend thing. Or, I'm a happily married heterosexual guy. Just like looking at, 7-year-olds in sexually compromising positions. No, you're twisted.
Nobody
there's something
dabbles.
Horrible.
People don't dabble in this.
There's no pond that you see with dead fish floating at the top of it and scum at the top. And then the water beneath, well, that's crystal blue drinking water. Don't worry about that. It's just a couple dead fish at the top. No, I imagine there's worse at the bottom. I see a little kiddie porn floating at the top of your pond. I assume there's much worse when we do some digging around or what you do when the lights go off.
Creepiest thing I remember about Mike Tyson is when he was convicted of rape, he said infamously that while he did not commit this rape, it was just as well that he went to prison because he's done at least a half dozen things much worse.
Sure.
Ooh.
Jimmy?
Wow. Hey, what's up?
What's happening? You got a story for us?
So yeah, I just wanted to say I live in Surprise, Arizona.
Mm.
We had a sex offender in our neighborhood, and I didn't even know it, but a bunch of the neighbor guys looked on our Arizona.gov website and found him.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, they booted him out. They our homeowner association told me he wasn't welcome there, and he left.
And how did you get him out of there? And when you say homeowner association, you mean you live in one of those, like, golf course places?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. I know it sounds really boring and sterile, but every once in a while I go visit my buddy in, like, Palm Springs, whose folks has a place over there. It's kind of nice. You're going through the big gate. You walk around in your flip-flops. You go to the clubhouse and eat breakfast, and you leave your door open at night.
Pretty much. Well, it just maintains the neighborhood.
Yeah. So you guys went after him, and he got out of there.
Well, there was a bunch of people who, you know, would leave notes on his door and talk to him and say, hey, you know, we have small kids. You're level two. You raped a child. You know, we don't really want you here. We have
level
small kids.
Level one, maybe.
Yeah. Welcome. Well, I've seen the banner. No first or last. Welcome, level one. See, I blast Benyel.
The most of us are level ones at one point in our time. I mean, I know, when I was 18, I used to go to parties and there'd be smoking hot girls. And yeah, I'd bang them. I never asked for ID.
Sure.
But, you know, something in the back of my mind says, hey, I don't know if they're 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyways, I was inebriated.
But Jimmy... Again, if you're thinking about getting in a relationship and you're going to meet the family, we're all number one in God's eyes as far as the level of sex offenders. Probably not a great one to cart out at the dinner table. Who hasn't masturbated in a moving vehicle in front of a couple of kids in a school bus? Huh?
Yeah, well, I haven't.
I'm sorry, Your Highness, if you never have, but I put my pants on one leg at a time and I drop them. All at once.
In front of someone's window when they're sleeping.
All right, well, I like that. Good. Shame. And I really do think the shame factor needs to return to society. The Paris Hiltons of the world, the guys that kill their mom and their dad and then have to just handle laundry baskets filled with marriage proposals to the prison, brought to their cell every day. I don't like that. I don't like the way it's turned. I like the shaming part of society, the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. That's the way we used to do it.
I just realized Gary Glitter, right? Red Ryan?
Oh.
Yes. That's right. I just had a couple run-ins. That's all.
Level one or two?
Level one. Low level stuff. We'll take a quick break. T... What's in the news?
Well, speaking of child abusers, who would John Mark Carr like to play himself in the movie that he would like to be made about himself?
Oh, really?
I will let you know that. And also the top guitar solos of all time.
Well, Jason Statham, the transporter, Snatch, now in Crank. It'd be sort of an against type character to play John Mark Carr, but I think it would definitely, you know, get a lot of the action viewers in there to watch. You wouldn't normally watch a movie about a pedophile.
If he wants to stretch as an actor.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. He wants to go, you know, in a little different direction than he went in Snatch or Trainspotter Transporter.
Well, Snatch, he kind of went that direction.
Yeah, I was going to try to, the Italian Job. Italian Job. Here's the thing about the Italian Job. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but completely watchable, and I'd be all right if there was more of those kinds of movies.
I enjoyed it.
Didn't claim to be important, just fun, fast,
heist
and interesting.
Heist pictures. Yeah, it's always fun.
Nice heist picture. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the news and sports after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. KUFO.
Chicks that do that. Those are these funky little Asian women who do that. They work down at Pinky Cheeks and they get all the celebrities. That'd be a good gig. What's your gig? I do the celebrity bikini waxing. All the, you know, chicks are going to do Playboy and Pam Anderson and her friends. A lot of Heather Graham, people like that, Locklear. They come in. And you do what? I spread the ass and dump wax in their crack.
Much better than the lame joke you always hear people say. I'll tell you what I want to be when I grow up is a Beverly Hills gynecologist. Listen,
now,
it's disgusting.
Now, I'll tell you why you don't. I know you're disgusted by that part of the woman. And as a matter of fact, the entire woman. But let me say this. You get yourself a gig like gynecologist and you become like a mechanic. You don't see brand new cars with no miles on them and no troubles. You see ones that have been wrapped around telephone poles. We got trouble here. You know what I mean? You see cars that are leaking tranny fluid and need gaskets.
Yes, that's exactly my point.
So first off, you're looking at... here's the deal. I love pizza. I don't like pizza that's diseased.
Yes.
You know what I mean? As much as I love pizza, I don't want pizza with mold on it that's been left out for a while.
Thank you.
And that's what you're doing. You're taking your favorite thing and you're looking at a tainted version. Oh, well, yeah, every once in a while you do a little hymen restoration gig on a 21-year-old who's getting married, or there's that 16-year-old that needs to be thrown up on the rack. But for the most part, it's a bunch of your mom's friends coming in there with odor problems. So,
yeah. Just because you're in Hollywood, you know, yeah, you might get Jessica Alba one day, but then also you might get Jessica Tandy.
That's right. Even though she's dead, yeah, she's still...
Even worse.
I've seen the PSA. Just because you're dead, that's no excuse not to get monthly pap smears. Yes.
Breast exam.
Do you know what the number one killer of dead people is? Cervical cancer.
That's the only old Jessica I can think of.
It's the number one killer of dead women. Cervical cancer.
Why not have a colonoscopy?
That's right. My point is, you get a job at one of those places like Pinky Cheeks, and you only get hot 18 to 25-year-old bikini models in there because your mom's friends aren't going to go in there and get the Brazilian wax. That's all.
Clever. Well played, Corolla.
Done and done. All right, where are we, T? We got some news coming up?
Yes. Prosecutors yesterday abruptly dropped their case against John Mark Carr in the slaying of JonBenet Ramsey, saying DNA tests failed to put him at the crime scene, despite his insistence that he sexually assaulted and strangled the 6-year-old beauty queen. This was a week and a half after Carr's arrest in Thailand, which looked like it was going to be a big breakthrough in the case, but as it turns out, not so much. Now, a spokesman for the Carr family described Carr on MSNBC as somebody who, quote, wanted to be a rock star. He's a dreamer. Mm. He's the kind of guy who wants to be famous. And if you heard him singing Falling at the wedding.
He sung like a...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm torn. Number one, Bruce get past me a note that says, please no more with the Falling song earlier.
What? Why would he
That's
do something?
Nice. It's nice when he tries to control the content of the show covertly by sliding your notes.
John Mark Carr, as I understand it, is a level one. You know
haunting.
What I loved? Chief Thunderbear came in and he sang Falling. I don't know if you remember that.
Dave, you may have missed that. The way to the booby car wash. It's even infected the Indian nation. Yes.
Yes. Now, according to this journalism professor with whom Carr was corresponding, mm-hmm. he's written a manuscript, and if there's a movie, what actor would he like to play him?
I just came up with the guy who would play him very nicely. Very nice. Not a joke. This would work very well. John Cryer, Ducky Boy. Two and a Half Men.
That
little,
is good.
He has one button on one top button, mm-hmm. one collar button on his shirt, and a little bit of red Grecian formula away from nailing that role.
Two and a Half Men with half a girl.
No.
But can he sing? Can John Cryer sing?
Well,
can he sing?
I think he can, but Bruska may beg to differ. Well, he would like...
It's my new karaoke song. Move over, hell is for children.
He would like Johnny Depp, actor Johnny Depp, to play him. I think Depp could do an okay job.
I don't even hear a word you're saying.
I know. If I start talking during the song, I'm done.
You can do worse at a wedding.
It's a nice song.
I'll tell you, we got to get on the blower, Bruska. The people whose wedding that was.
Oh,
yeah.
That mars the day. Anyway.
He's not only invited to our wedding, he's bringing his mullet and his six string. And before we actually tie the knot, we're going to have him there and belt one out.
John says he has a very special gift for us. I don't know what that could be. I mean, he said he might need to bring his guitar for it, but I can't imagine.
This is going to be good.
Anyway, he would like Johnny Depp to play him in the movie.
Well, done and done.
I'm sure.
Move over, Pirates of the Caribbean 3. I have a new project.
Pedophiles of the Caribbean 6. Okay.
Ooh, did I? We discussed Pedophile Island, Pedophile on this show.
Oh.
It's a marvelous idea.
Well,
I feel like I just need to give everyone a refresher course.
That's
on
from
Loveline.
No one here knows a pedophile.
Oh, I never brought it up here?
How does this work?
No, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We had one of the movie guys in.
Yeah, we did. Oh, Brian, play the song. Play the song behind me. I'll just give a quick thumbnail sketch of Pedophile. Thank you. This is not only the soundtrack to Pedophile, but it's the soundtrack to my life now.
We're all falling.
It's the years 2031. We've taken Cuba. Aha! Cuba. Castro's passed on. We've taken over Cuba and turned it into a maximum security island for pedophiles. Because what do we do with pedophiles? As it stands now, we just release them into Teresa's house.
Right. Essentially. In my neighborhood.
Well, in an actual house. Sometimes some of them get out and inhabit the neighborhood, surrounding neighborhood. But what do we do with the pedophiles? We can't put them down. We can't kill them, yet we know they're going to repeat again. Well, we put them on pedophile. Now, like an airplane, which is traveling to the Caribbean for a Cub Scout jamboree, goes down on pedophile. But here's the deal. We can't go in and get them because the government denies existence of pedophile. There's one good guy who's inside who's going to like, I'm not going to let those kids go. That's Bruce Willis. I'm not going to let those kids go down over there. But no one else will acknowledge the existence of pedophile. Now we have to go in. And the pedophiles have broken off into different tribes. It's kind of like the Warriors. You know, they all have their own gangs. They all have their own thing, and they're all over. Now they must survive, and they must rely on their Cub Scout training. How to catch a rabbit, how to start a fire. The one older son goes along on the trip. Former Eagle Scout now has a mohawk. He wants nothing to do with scouting, but his old man talks him into one more jamboree. He goes, old man dies in the crash, and now he must rise again. He must take control over the troops now and lead them from danger. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm watching.
I'm in, and I know Johnny Depp's in. Okay, in entertainment news.
If not, though,
news.
Brandon Damashek emails me, Kevin Spacey would be a good person to play.
Oh, he can do creepy very well.
Yeah. Yes.
Comedian Jackie Mason.
I think he's
Mason,
doing it right now,
yes,
actually, wherever he is.
Speak. Comedian Jackie Mason has filed
our
a lawsuit.
Own board op,
yes.
Bill. Turn around and take a look at Board Op Bill. I don't know if he has acting chops or not. He does have molesting chops, I'll tell you that right now.
Level one?
Perfect.
I think maybe could pull off a level
he
one.
He laughs at level
two.
Oneers. He throws them back.
Okay, I'm sorry. To continue, comedian Jackie Mason, who will be, I believe, calling in later on the show, he has filed a lawsuit against a missionary group called the Jews for Jesus because they used his name and likeness in a pamphlet without his permission. He's seeking $2 million. He wants the pamphlet destroyed. He says, quote, while I have the utmost respect for people who practice the Christian faith, the fact is, as everyone knows, I am as Jewish as a matzo ball or a kosher salami.
I would argue more Jewish than either one of those items. He's on the phone now. We should speak to him. I remember growing up seeing the Jews for Jesus van going up and down Ventura Boulevard as a young person and thinking, I'm 9 and I know I can't hang with those nutcakes. I don't even know what they are. I just know there's no way I'm getting in that van. Jackie, are you there?
This is Mike August. Did you get him?
Yay, Mike.
Interesting. I can vamp for a second.
Can you do it? Thank you. Let's see.
Do we have him?
Yes, I think we do. Here we go. Jackie?
Yes, sir.
He sounds exactly like Mike August.
Yes. Welcome back to the show, Jackie.
Thank you. Pleasure doing business with you.
Jackie, what is going on? I heard the story over the weekend that they put your likeness on their pamphlet, and now you're suing them. But what more do we need to know about the story?
Well, the story is just one of the most disgusting things probably in the history of the world. The Second World War and the Al-Qaeda is nothing compared to this crowd.
Wow.
This is a vicious mob of people that we have to go looking for them and wipe them out. They definitely belong wiped out someplace, because the truth is what they did is just simply disgusting and arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
To take somebody's picture and claim that I'm a member of Jews for Jesus. God bless people who believe in Jesus. I happen not to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for an accent like this to tell you that all of a sudden I converted. Not only that, it would be impossible for me to make a living if people believed that all of a sudden I'm a Jew for Jesus. What's going to happen? You know how many Jews will be suing me by Thursday?
You're right. So these are people that were born Jewish but have turned to Christianity?
There are, I'm sure there are people like that. God bless them. They have a right to do it, but it's none of my business. Let's assume, first of all, it's a preposterous idea. It's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoronic thing to say that you're a Jew for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're for Jesus, you can't be a Jew. If I'm a chair, I'm not a table.
Is that a Neil Diamond song, by the way?
How could you be both? You can't be both.
Can't be a chair and a table. Reason. I would argue that a futon makes a decent try being a chair and a bed, you know, but not a chair and a table.
You can't be an elephant and a horse. It can't be a toilet and a kitchen. It's two different things. If you're following Christianity and the word of Jesus, that Jesus is your Messiah, you're a Christian.
Well, who brought this to
you're a Christian. If I didn't convert, how could I be a Jew for Jesus?
Who brought this to your attention initially?
And 100 different people, because they were giving it out in subway stations on street corners. These are people who are unemployed with no place to go. They have nothing to do but persecute Jewish people.
And they argue, I think their argument is we use the personification of the Jewish man, which is Jackie Mason, saying if he could convert or if we could convert him, then you could convert, or using you as an example of the toughest nut.
That's one of the great frauds of all time, to find a technicality and not quite phrase it so perfectly so that you should get the impression, but they can't be responsible. It's an old advertising trick that's gone on for 1,000 years, where you connect the person with a product, and then you're playing, you claim, I didn't say he actually buys the product. I say he just happens to use it. Took a picture of it with a living room and claim we didn't mean his living room.
Jackie, you're an ordained rabbi, correct?
Right.
And as a rabbi, do you practice? Do you have to?
I don't have to. I was once a doctor. Doesn't mean I have to practice as a doctor.
Well, you do have to get you have to take your state boards.
If I have a license to be a doctor, that that means that I never lose that license. I could always be a doctor. Mm-hmm. But it so happens I'm not practicing as a doctor.
What if you were a table? Could you practice to be a chair? He likes that one because it's his. All right, Jackie.
That was practically a joke.
Thank you. Very close. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Jackie Mason Show every Friday night, 8 to 8:30 on CNN8.
Thank you.
Comcast.
Very much.
Jackie, keep us posted, please. Tell us what's going on with this.
It'll be my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't know if the Jews for Jesus, I wonder how much money they have. Do they have $5 million in the coffers to pay him off? Because it sounds like he has a pretty decent lawsuit. They're taking a guy, especially when it comes to religion. It's one thing if they steal Alan Alda's face and try to sell some mops. Well, they could argue that's damaging to Alan's career. But putting your face on a Jews for Jesus pamphlet is damaging to your soul. If in fact you're,
can we go back for a second? Jackie Mason is Jewish.
Yeah, you didn't know that, huh?
I don't know. Maybe I'm late to the party.
I've not heard, huh?
No.
All right. T?
Yes. Well, just to wrap up here, a British radio station polled its listeners to come up with the 10 greatest guitar solos ever. Mm. I think I only have time to play the first one for you.
Please play Falling. Please play Falling.
Please play Falling.
Please play Falling.
Don't upset Adam.
Bruska gave you that note 10 minutes ago, and we've only heard it 3 times. This got to be number one.
It actually...
I'm falling. I'm falling in love with this song.
It actually didn't crack the top 10.
I think about Bruska telling Brian not to play it, and now it's piped into the show. If it comes down to a choice between this song and Bruska, well, then Bruska's gonna have to go. 'Cause I'm falling. I'm falling. I'm falling.
We'll do this song every Bruska show.
With this song. All right.
Shut up and sit down, you big bald.
He's not really bald.
All right. Sorry, okay, the actual greatest guitar solo ever.
Ooh.
It's contained in the following song.
Comfortably numb.
Very good. Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb.
You know, I don't like Pink Floyd that much. I know a lot of staffers do, but I always thought this was a great song.
Sure.
Just well-crafted, you know, when you want to, whether you like the band or not. Sometimes you just have to step aside and you want to go, oh, I'm not into all that stuff, whatever. Just pull yourself out of that moment for a second and go, wow, if you just really listen to how this song is sort of composed. Very nicely
crafted.
Very
good, and I also enjoy number two.
child of mine. Yeah,
I love it. I can't help myself.
It's not the number two guitar solo.
Yes, it is. According to this list.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll get more of them later news.
Really?
If you'd like. I think now, though, it is time for the news. I'm Teresa Strasser. Goodbye.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I want to hear the rest of those that guitar list. But right now, though, yes. I understand that Edge James, Arizona Cardinals star running back, has called a press conference, and for some reason I'm involved in it. So I don't know what that's about. But
you going to hear that?
I guess we're going to get to that momentarily. In the meantime, let me just run through this stuff. National pastime, there's a monstrous series going on over at Chavez Ravine. Playoff implications abound. NL West leading Dodgers against the wild card leading Cincinnati Redlegs. Bums won it last night, 6-5. Padres, meantime, lost to the Snakes in the Valley of the Sun, which means the Bums now have a 3-game lead in the West. Padres still just a half game back in the wild card. Junior Circuit, Halos, postseason hopes fading away. They got shut out in Seattle by King Felix Hernandez. Athletics, meantime, beat the junk out of the Boston, so the A's are now up 6.5 in the AL West. A lot of news in the world of NFL QBs. First of all, former USC QB Carson Palmer, now with the Cincy Bungles, had a breakout performance in the first half. Threw three touchdowns after.
Speaking of King, am I not allowed to? We try to phrase things in such a way that won't get us bleeped out. Is there no way to discuss
man juice?
Seminal output.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, speaking of that,
I'm telling you, that's not an FCC violation. I know you're scared assless that the mighty Jack Silver's going to come in here and fire your ass, but it's not a violation.
Why?
Jesus
Christ. Just because the last four guys have been fired?
Yes, I know. You know, this is the worst case scenario is now upon us. That we don't need the FCC anymore. Everyone is so goddamn paranoid to do anything. We'll just censor ourselves. Now we'll bleep out stuff we never even would have dreamt of bleeping out years ago.
Adam,
yes.
Edge
it's
James
a good example
is
of not kicking the tires and lighting the fires, Pete.
Thank you, Jack.
Edge James is apparently on his way to the podium as we speak. So quickly, speaking of semen and where it gets sent, apparently another USC QB, Matt Leinart, has knocked up his old
lady. Let me just say this real quick to whatever the guy's name is who does the bleeping. I'm not going to commit your name to memory because you're going to be gone soon, so I don't worry about it. That's the way. Look, this is Vietnam. I can't afford to make friends. You guys are going to step on a bouncing Betty tomorrow and be blowing up.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
And I'm glad I didn't learn the last guy's name, but here's the deal that I'm going to make with you. If you F up and you beat me when you shouldn't because you slip up, because you're paranoid. I understand. By the way, paranoid, put that on the guitar riff list. That okay. is a great guitar riff right
done.
There. Very simple, but straightforward. But if you F up, just make me this promise. You F up and you screw up because it's going to happen. You have to do it in your job. It's like we talked about earlier when they do those police training videos and they show the cop and he does the shoulder roll and he's going through the fake town and he shoots the mobster and then he shoots the gunman and then he shoots the gangbanger, but then the chick with the groceries comes around the corner and he blows her head off, too. It happens every once in a while. Do not push it again just because you effed up the first time and you're trying to rationalize / cover yourself for your first F up. You see, sometimes you're a little happy with your trigger finger and you push it and you F up and you bleep something out that doesn't need to be bleeped out. Don't bleep it out a second time just because you bleeped it out the first time. Do you understand that concept? Thank you.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
I don't blame you for bleeping it out the first time because you got an itchy trigger finger.
No, it's not that. It's when you get graphic. That's when we have to start bleeping it out.
You know, there's been times when we've said things on this show I guarantee had no cause to be bleeped out, and you've bleeped it out repeatedly because you don't want to admit you made a mistake the first time.
No, it's not that. It's just
it is
graphic.
That. Then you have to bleep it out. But if we're talking about going to the car wash, wax. Well, see, there
English,
you go.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
You know you're happy on the trigger You know you're happy with your trigger finger. I know Jack has scared the bejesus out of you. Why you'd want this job, I don't know. But for some reason...
No, Jack doesn't scare me. I've known him for a couple years now.
For some reason, you're trying to keep the world's worst job. When you mess up, be man enough not to mess up twice in a row. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. And please never tell me your name.
All right, I won't.
Thank you.
I don't know your name either.
Go ahead. Oh. Listen.
The good news is you're fired.
I've known Jack for 10 minutes. I can get your ass fired, so shut up. Go ahead.
All right. Well, listen. Back to the petty things like pregnancy and continuing the human race. Matt Leinart has apparently knocked up his girlfriend, the USC basketball player, who's a woman, as it turns out, Bryn Cameron. She's a junior at USC.
Really? What happened to Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he was with this woman last year, and then they broke up when those pictures of him in a bar, drunk in a bar, draped over some women showed up. But I guess they're back together, obviously, and in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Edge James is standing at the podium, and let me just say this. You know, a couple days ago, I mentioned about my fantasy draft, you know, who I would pick with the first pick. You know, there are a number of options. Seahawks, Sean Alexander, Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson, Larry Johnson of the Chiefs, so on and so forth. Edge James, I didn't mention him, and I guess it ruffled his feathers because he's called a press conference about it. I think we can go to it right now.
So-called experts are saying this, that, and the other about who's the best toter of the pigskin around. LJ, LT, Alexander, Tiki. What about your old pal Edgy James? This Damashek maroon is trying to give me the hi-hat, the bum's rush, a swift kick in my unmentionables, and so on. I've been around the block once or twice myself, I'll have you know. What's more, my gams is right as rain, and they're ready to take me and the rest of this ball club where we need to go. You savvy? I'm as good as it gets. Period. End of story. Tiki my foot. Excuse me. Hello? Mr. Sheldrake. It's Mr. Sheldrake, my agent. Yes, but this Damashek said I wasn't as good as... I see. The underdog approach, you say. Shock the world, eh? You're really using that melon of yours. Good day. Well, fellas, like I was saying, a sap like me's just lucky to be playing the game. Anything more than that would be the stuff of miracles, storybooks, maybe even a motion picture. I'm no stranger to acting, you know.
Edge James.
Wow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Jeez, it's funny. All these guys, you know, you see them with the dreads and the big guns and the tats and everything. They sound so different.
I got his ire up. Now, speaking of which.
Speaking of ire, Jack Silver, program director. Oh. Jack Silver on the phone. Jack?
What's going on, peeps?
What's happening? What's up, Jack?
Well, I'm finally up. But what the hell's happening?
Well, I just feel like everyone's scared to death over here, and the FCC has done to us essentially what the terrorists have done to us, which is they don't really, you know, they bomb an airplane or an airport or something every once in a while, but meanwhile we're all taking our shoes off and standing in line. They've officially won. The FCC's officially won because we're all scared to talk now, and everyone is scared assless, so now we just bleep ourselves out even when we don't need to.
Good work.
Thank you, Jack. Jack, did we call you?
What the hell do you want?
All right. Listen, what'd you do? Fall asleep in a hot tub again last night with some interns?
No, I got jet lag. Remember, I went to Japan last week.
Oh, that's right.
I'm still on Tokyo time.
I'll tell you, the sex tourism business is so big. I mean, it's not just Thailand anymore. All right, Jack, that's enough.
What was the specific line that we said that got bumped up?
You can't get into it because then it gets beeped out again, and then I start going insane. I like virtual Jack Silver anyway. Jack, what's going on?
We're going to get in big trouble, peeps.
All right. We got to take ourselves a break. We got FBI profiler / investigator Clint Van Zandt. A lot of man. Speaking of man, British actor Jason Statham. The transporter. Snatch. Italian Job. Doing another one, too, as we talked about. He's coming in here. Crank, his latest movie. Talk to him as well. Def Frat Guy coming up. All that. Still on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. From movies like The Transporter, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, and this Friday, the star of Crank.
My name is Chev Chelios, and today's the day that I die.
We gave you the Beijing cocktail.
Now, I've got 1 hour to settle the score, say goodbye to my girl, and go out with a little style.
Jason Statham on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, good to see you, Jason.
Nice to be on here, chaps. And ladies.
Crank. Thank you.
Thank him, David. Crank in theaters Friday.
You saw me looking at him, didn't you?
Nationwide. Jason, a lot of, you know, the chicks like Jason, and I like that. I don't like it when they like the girly guys. I get frustrated. I don't like it. But Jason, despite the name, all man, Jason. Yeah, I loved... you're a guy, you know, I guess what you would say about Jason is, I don't know if he's a classically handsome or whatever it is, but when you're on the screen, you watch. As a heterosexual male, I feel comfortable saying, like, when I watched Italian Job, I watched it. When you're on there, I hang on every word.
He's charismatic, they might say.
Yes, I think that's what it is. Snatch, The Transporter. I didn't see two. Oh, I saw one, but I haven't seen two yet. Yes?
Yeah. What was that?
That was a clip from Snatch.
Oh, I see. Let's hear it. Play it.
Now, we are...
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you.
There's a lot of compliments going around there.
Was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels that first movie for you?
Yeah, that was my first shot at being in front of a camera, yeah. Guy Ritchie basically had written this... screenplay about a load of sort of likely lads in London, and I kind of fit the bill for one of those because I spent years working on street corners selling jewellery and perfume, street corner con man, if you like, and I was very, very cheap, and Guy decided to put me in the film.
It's so quaint when they do it in England. Here, they're junkies and hobos and just scary black men with fake Rolexes. Over there, it's Oliver Twist.
Well, what would that sound like if you were trying to sell me some illegal perfume, say?
Oh, there's a big long spiel that goes with it. It's all about, you know, luring people in and putting them in promised land, pretending that you're going to, you know, give them more than they're supposed to get. And, you know, don't ask where we get... the goods from, and we won't ask you where you get your money. It's that kind of affair.
You did that. Now, I'm reading here that you were an Olympic diver.
I was a diver for many years, yeah. I was on the British team for about 10 years, and I never went to the Olympics, but I went to the Commonwealth Games, the European Championships, and all the rest of it. And, you know, it kind of helped me with what I'm doing now in the action genre because, you know, it gives you, you know, all those years...
Yeah, you do your own stunts, correct?
Yeah, and that's basically where I was going with it. I mean, it's...
You do all your driving in the Transporter?
I did as much as they'd let me. I mean, it's impossible to do every single piece because, you know, there's explosions and you've got to turn up for the next day's filming. So
right.
There's a limit sometimes to the...
Yeah, the insurance company's not going to let you do it because if you bust your leg or you die in the middle of it, then they're stuck with $50 million that they can't spend.
Yeah, they don't care whether you live or die. It's whether they finish the movie.
If there are any kids listening, remember that because that's an adage I'm going to beat into my young children. Crank, let's talk about that. I've seen the commercials. Tell us the story.
Well, it's about a hitman who is poisoned. And he's got a certain amount of time before he dies, before the poison takes a hold.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way he can sort of prolong his time on the planet is to keep his adrenaline high. So he's a desperate man.
Feverishly masturbates until his serum is... No, so what do? You got to go. You got to get in the BMW and do some Brodies, right?
You got to do a lot of things. There's a very glorious sex scene.
Oh, really?
I don't want to give too much away, but, I mean, he's... it's entertaining at times.
Well, I heard that you and Amy Smart did it in Chinatown.
Yeah, we did do it in Chinatown in front of about 250 extras.
Really?
Which is not the best for your own heart rate, actually.
Yeah.
You know, your own pasty white sort of I don't know how to say this. Ask.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you can say it.
Yeah, but you just don't know what to say on these radio stations.
No, I know. Listen, I'm from here and I'm confused. I could imagine being from across the pond. I'd really have my tongue tied. So you were you naked in the middle of Chinatown?
Semi-naked, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was clothed from the waist up, so... Yeah, and I had a pair of trainers on, so, you know.
Yeah, like one of those dance belts or something. That they put on. And what about Amy Smart? What was she wearing?
You better ask her.
Oh, I'm going to go.
Wait a second. You had your trainers, meaning that's British for sneakers.
Sneakers, yes.
And a shirt, and then no bottoms.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I got to say this, and I don't mean it to be derogatory, but if I'm going to take my pants down in front of 250 people, I want them to be Chinese. I've heard the myth. I'm not going to South Africa and dropping my pants. That's my point. Am I right?
You must be.
Thank you. Tom Likas likes us. All right, let's hear. I think we have a clip from the movie.
Here it is. The Glory Stompers. The swinginest psycho gang there is.
Oh.
Their mama's wilder. Their loving freer.
Yeah, Chinatown.
Crowding a lifetime of living into now.
I'd go see it. No, I think we have a real one. Do we have a real one?
Let's hear that. Teenage gang debs. They all talk, fight, and love just one way. Dirty. They're as mean and vicious as a cement jungle they live in. Teenage gang debs, the go-go girls who go too far.
Amy Smart's the go-go girl, I guess.
All right, now come on, we have a real one, right? All right.
I've been poisoned with some kind of Chinese synthetic dope.
Adrenaline's what's keeping you alive.
Know what I have to do.
Wait!
Now, come on.
The bigger the rush.
Juice me.
The longer he lives.
You're gonna die sometime.
Jason Statham in studio. Crank coming out.
So you have to maintain. So the idea is you have to maintain a certain heart rate, much like in Speed, they had to do the drop. But you're the bus. And
exactly.
Your body is the bus.
Well put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about. So, do you still hang out with Guy Ritchie?
Yeah, Guy's a very good friend of mine, and we share a similar interest. We both like a bit of the old Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, the submission fighting. So, time to time, we roll around on the mats in his garage.
Really?
Or garage.
Exciting.
As you like, Guy's
saying. With nothing but the trainers on.
Yeah. Are you friendly with his wife?
Yeah, he's a married man. And,
I didn't know who was spoken for.
We're all good friends, yeah.
Nice young lady. What is she, a cocktail waitress or something over there?
I don't know what she does. Madonna?
So you hang out with Madonna?
Look, they're all friends of mine, yeah.
Really? Now, do they live in a castle?
No, they don't. They live normal lives.
In a castle?
In a
right?
house. You know, they have
a house with a moat. Right? You call the house.
You read too many magazines.
I've seen the pictures. Don't they have a country, you know, castle or something over there?
They don't have a castle, no. They got married in a castle.
Ah, is that what happened?
Yeah.
And then they,
it's a bit early. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
They just have a flat over there. Don't they summer somewhere? Isn't there some place they go in the country that's, you know, sprawling with beautiful green meadows and, you know, 50,000 square feet or anything?
Meantime, while your chum, Guy Ritchie, the dope, is spending time with just one woman, you're making hay across the globe. True? You're just having every woman that you could possibly... I can't imagine every woman isn't throwing themselves at you.
Is that
every
right?
girl at this radio station has been anticipating your visit tonight.
Yeah, I can see them. I'm beating them off with a stick.
They're trying to play it cool.
Smart, you're single, right?
That's a no.
It's no.
No, you're not.
When you hear the if there's one thing I've learned, Adam.
Yeah, I know.
You.
It breaks my heart.
It's a wistful
are you married?
I'm not married, no.
You're not married?
No.
But you have a woman. Is she back in England?
No, she's over here.
Oh, she with you?
No, she's not.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Is she an actress? In
no, she's not.
Does she live out
Get
here?
Get out of it, you lot. Asking me about my woman. I'm going to start swearing in a minute.
Speaking of love, Def Frat Guy is come in. You don't have to get him yet, Fresca, but he's a huge, huge fan, Jason. Statham's. He's going to come in here. Well, say hi, deaf frat guy, if you would. I imagine almost every frat guy in this country is a huge fan.
It's nice to meet you.
How's you doing, mate?
Did you, right? You see the transporter and the Italian job and all that stuff?
Dude, now that Tom Cruise is out of his mind, this guy's my favorite actor because really? I've seen all your movies. I like the way you do things, and I also like the fact that you're training in jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I'm glad you think so.
You don't need a potato gun when you do jiu-jitsu.
That's right. So you guys are going to act out a scene for us when we come back? Something perhaps from...
7:30 in the morning.
Okay. Put some water on your face, drink some coffee, and get your acting chops on. Hey, what was it Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? Which one had Brad Pitt in it?
Snatch.
He was the piker, right?
The pikey. What sort of fella is he? Maybe when we come back, you'll talk about that. I want to know about what sort of fella Pitt is.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-oh.
You are a nosy so-and-so.
Say chill.
You know where people live, what he's like, what she's like. God, Daddy. Too much work. You got to get at you. Look.
Brad Pitt doesn't quite get his due, but he was great in that movie.
Yeah.
And his accent was great. I don't know what it was. Maybe he made it up, but he was awesome. Yes.
He got wasted in that movie.
Speaking of accents, Steph Frack. We will take ourselves a little break. Jason, stay them in here. Crank, his movie out this Friday. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Jason, Deaf Rat Guy, after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here are celebrities who aren't celebrating birthdays today. It's not Dustin Hoffman's birthday. From Wild America, Marty Stauffer, not celebrating a birthday. And it's definitely not Michael Jackson's birthday. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, this is embarrassing. It actually is Michael Jackson's birthday. This has happened to us a few times. Someone's going to get fired. Michael Jackson is, in fact, 48 years old today. I've said, hey, it'd be funny if we did celebrities who aren't celebrating their birthday. We tried it twice. Each time we found a celebrity.
What are the odds?
They can't be good. They just can't. Anyway, happy birthday to you, Michael Jackson. 48 years young.
Level one young.
Level one and living in Teresa's neighborhood. Jason Statham here. He is from Crank. He is Crank. Snatched, The Transporter, The Italian Job, Pink Panther, Transporter 2. Keeps going. Good to see you here, Jason. Quickly, before you and the man who idolizes you, Deaf Frat Guy, get into acting out the scene from Snatch, are they going to do The Italian Job too? We hear from our man Brian that they are.
The Brazilian Job, I think they're going to call it. Yeah. We're just waiting to find out when and where and if it's all going to happen. Yeah, we're all sort of keen to sort of get together and do it again.
It must be a dream gig. I mean, a job like that. You guys start off in Venice, then you go to, I don't know, the French Alps or something, and then it's off to Los Angeles. Where were you all when you did that film?
Yeah, we was exactly where you said. We went to Venice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the French Alps. And
really? Oh. I was just faffing around. I didn't even see the movie.
And then we came back to Los Angeles.
Wow. Let me try to predict where you're going next.
Yeah.
Hell in a basket for making fun of Dave Damashek. All right, let's quickly take a caller. Troy?
Yeah.
Your fan?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, guys, how you doing? Adam, I love the show. Thanks for keeping Las Vegas laughing.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say hi to Jason Statham. He's one of my favorite action movie stars out there, and also Deaf Rat Guy's one of my favorite characters you guys have on that show. So I just want to say hi, and thanks for everything, guys.
Hell yeah, nice Delta
one,
Fu.
Nice one, pal.
Delta Fu.
Getting back to the Italian Job 2 or whatever we're calling it, when do you go into production? Have you already started with that?
No, there's a lot of people's schedules to tie down, and right now we don't have a start date, so there will be no sort of pre-production. It's all sort of waiting to get nailed down.
Do you know the story?
No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. A kick-ass movie would be the Brazilian wax job.
That'd be good. Jason just hits the beaches of Brazil with a tub of wax and some Quaaludes.
Yeah, and he's got this shirt that
says... I would watch that.
His shirt says, official bikini inspector.
Those are funny shirts.
Yeah, I think you're coming from a different world with the frat life. You know, I know it sounds like it could hold up for 2 hours, but I don't know if that would... I think most people would rather just see the crime caper.
I like the way the Mini Coopers were driving through the streets.
Yeah, and through the sewer system as well. All right, you guys are going to act out, as promised, the scene from Snatch. This is a good... If people didn't see his Guy Ritchie movie, I thought Brad Pitt was funny as hell in that movie as the Pike, or the Piker, or whatever call him. What is a Pike? What is a Pikey?
Well, they're, they're traveling folk. They probably like to be called.
They're like gypsies.
Yeah, gypsies. They live in caravans, and, they do odds and sods and different jobs to get along.
Hold on, Dave, what's a kikey?
No.
No, I want to know. I'm not trying to be offensive. I would like to learn from your people.
We are also a traveling people.
Sure, you're being chased all the time.
That's why we're traveling.
All right, so they're essentially gypsies, and where are they from? Where do they reside?
They reside in different parts of the British Isles, and a lot of them come from over in Ireland. And
did Brad Pitt do a convincing accent? And had you were sort of one yourself in a sense?
I wasn't actually.
No, but listen, believe me, I know all the locations from your last movie. Maybe you should listen to me. I'm saying this. You did the part where you stood on the corner and sold stuff. I mean, you were a little bit of a street urchin.
Yeah.
But you didn't have... Well, whatever you call it. Merchant. You didn't have the part... You didn't travel around with the people, but you, in a sense, led a little bit of the lifestyle, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's... It's a life of, I wouldn't say crime, but it's, it's...
On the fringes.
On the fringes is a very, very nice way to put it, yes.
So you're going to, and was Brad Pitt's accent convincing for someone who knew what it was, like you?
I thought Brad did an amazing job. He was, like, superb. I mean, one of my favourite actors. It's a really tough accent to get your lips around.
Yes.
I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, it's very fast and it's very... Yeah, trust me, it's a difficult thing to,
Is it a combination
to sound authentic
of, like,
when you're doing
Irish
that?
And British, and what is the accent?
Yeah, it's a little bit Irish, and it's a little bit... The point is, it's very fast, and you need to be able to get that rhythm going.
So now, are you going to do Brad Pitt's character for us, doing the Pikey voice?
No. Def Rat guy's going to do
it. Oh, really? That'll be good.
I know he's very dexterous with his old tongue.
But before we get bamboozled into this thing, I want to just take this opportunity, bro. Jason, I would be honored to present you with a bid for membership of Delta Phi Gamma, my fraternity that was founded in... Actually, I said it was founded in 2006, but we changed it to make it classier. We're saying now it was founded in 1781.
I don't know if you can just pick random dates. All right. So it's been, 250 years or so.
Yeah, the shirt looks about that old. Yeah.
It's a venerable tradition.
I'm presenting him with a shirt, a couple of stickers, and maybe a... If you're not wasted, your day is pen to sweeten the deal.
Perhaps you could present that to Madonna when you head back across the pond.
Cool, you boys know how to spoil me, don't you?
It would be awesome if Madonna could be seen out wearing the Def Rat Guy t-shirt.
Wow, that'd be something.
Do you want me to sign this right there, yeah?
Yeah, just sign and then you would be an official member.
Oh, right.
Wow,
because I got to put these lovely 2 pence badges on, don't I?
Are you going to haze him, Def Rat Guy, now that he's a pledge?
No, he's an instant member.
Oh, wow.
I want to say I'm honored to tell you that you and Pucci are the only people that did not have to go through a rigorous hazing process.
All right.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks for the prize.
All right, let's speaking of the prize, let's get to the acting, because Jason's a very busy man and has to go out and promote his movie on stations that have listeners. So can we move forward with this? Def Rat Guy, you're going to be playing the role that Brad Pitt made famous. You will be the Pikey you're going to buy a caravan, or it's a trailer. As we learn in the movie, they call the trailers that you tow behind your car caravans. You're going to go buy it from a Jason's character. All right? All right?
I'm just really psyched that we got Jason Statham to be a member of Dead to Foo.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Dead to Foo.
Here we go.
Well, do you want to do it?
That depends.
On what?
On you buying this caravan. Not the Rouge one, the Rose.
It's not the same caravan.
It's not the same fight.
It's twice the effing size of the last one.
Turkey, the fight is twice the size, and me ma still needs a caravan. I like to look after me ma. It's a fair deal. Take it.
Mickey, you're lucky we aren't worm food after your last performance. Buying a Tarts Mobile Palace is a little effing rich.
I wasn't...
Hey, look, I wasn't calling your mama Tart. I just meant...
Oh, save your breath for cooling your pies. Hey, look, right. And she's terribly partial to the periwinkle blue. Have I made myself clear, lads?
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, Mickey. Just give me 1 minute to confer with my colleague. Did you understand a single word of what he just said?
Thank you. Nice job, Brian.
Wow.
It's like you close your eyes and you're in the movie.
I thought I was sat next to Brad then. It was absolutely spot on.
Uncanny.
I like the scene in the film when Brad Pitt gets so wasted he can't even stand up anymore, but he's still kicked ass.
Important message to all the young people watching. All right. Well, Jason Statham, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Delta Foo's own.
Crank, name of the movie, in theaters Friday nationwide. And I don't think there's anything out there that's going to satisfy the action junkie that's actually in theaters. I mean, you don't want to see Little Miss Sunshine. See, you know, they spent $1,800 on that. It's a bunch of gay guys chasing a VW van around for the best I can tell. That's as much investigation as Ace Man needs to do. You want to see action, you go see Crank. That's coming out again this Friday. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls for the Deaf Frat Guy. He's going to be dispatching his own brand of advice. You got questions, you have problems, let the Deaf Frat Guy shed a little light on him. Yes, DFG.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll take a quick break. Thank you, Jason. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time for the Adam Carolla Show to check in with Maverick, the deaf frat guy.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
Why don't we get drunk?
Hell yeah.
Well, let's see. Quickly, some things to take care of. Clint Van Zandt is on the phone. He is a former FBI criminal profiler. We spoke to him before about the car case, JonBenet Ramsey case. Deaf Frat Guy, we will be taking calls for you in the next segment. But quickly, you had a movie idea that I thought was quite provocative. We just spoke to Jason, and Jason Statham was talking about his new movie Crank, in which he had to keep his adrenaline level to a certain point, at a certain level, otherwise he would die, so it's nonstop action. You had an idea that was similar, but maybe better.
This one is called Buzz.
Buzz.
And a guy had to keep a 4-beer buzz at all times, or else he would die.
So, let's say it's spring break, 08 or something like that. This guy's out at Havasu, and for what period of time? 5-6 days has to keep a 4-beer buzz going?
The camera is a helicopter shot of Havasu, and it's flying over. We see Poochie, Moose, Smitty, and then Jason Statham is playing Maverick.
Oh, I see.
Plays
Jason
you?
Plays you.
I think I know who the villain would be.
Oh, yeah, the Pike.
F. Blake Chambers.
That's what I was
Blake
thinking.
Chambers. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He tries to keep you from getting to your 4-beer buzz.
Like he turns me near beer or maybe or even God forbid O'Doul.
Wow. A pledge pin on your uniform.
We'll get Johnny from Karate Kid from the Cobra Kai's to play Blake Chambers. It's a role of a lifetime for him.
And the other thing is, you know what was really cool about Jason in here was that He understands what Dan Tafoon is on about. That's why he signed his bid card without hesitation.
He didn't know what it was, I'm pretty sure.
So you have to keep, maintain a four beer buzz or more.
Below four beers with a breathalyzer. It's always on hand.
Yeah, it's like the movie Speed. He couldn't get below 60 miles an hour in that bus.
And it can be difficult because if you're maybe sleeping or because you're in the hot sun and you get tired, you want to take a nap, but your level dropped to dangerously low level.
Right, so you could technically nap for an hour and a half, but you're going to have to funnel a 12-pack before you hit the sack.
Here's the really dangerous part. I was thinking for the scary part of the movie, like maybe the guy thinks, you know, Jason Statham is playing Maverick.
Right.
And maybe he's like, hey, maybe I should funnel, you know, something to keep my level up for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
But then he pukes, and his level, and it gets to a dangerously low level. I haven't written the script yet.
Right, these are the broad strokes. But so far, we got Havasu, Jason's playing Jason Maverick, playing yourself.
There is another villain, that Blake Chambers. But maybe there are also a certain couple of gypsies who are trying to...
Pikers, yeah. That's right. Like when you guys, like I said, art reflecting life over here. You guys were out at Havasu a few months back, and you guys got ripped off by those gypsies who are posing as foreign exchange students. I know. It's still a fresh wound for you.
But maybe they could be, because they're like the femme fatales.
Right. They'll call that a B story. They come in there.
It's the love interest.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But then they turn bad. At first they're good, then they turn bad, and then they turn back to good.
All right, so let's just...
Kind of like pussy galore in the James Bond pictures, something like that.
There will be tons of pussy in this movie.
No, that's the name of a character.
Let's just recap for a second. It's called Buzz.
It's the story of a certain gentleman. Maybe he's a Delta Food president.
Right.
And if he's... Buzz level drops below the 4 p.m. buzz level, he will die.
Understanding. He has to maintain this throughout spring break at Havasu.
And they're dangerous. He could either throw up or somebody could feed him O'Doul's.
That is always a danger. Or
I see a jet ski chase scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see a houseboat chase scene. Very slow chase scene, but yet a chase scene nonetheless. Two houseboats going at it in Havasu. I see you nailing some fat chicks. You know, all the baggage that comes with the perpetual
hard-ass
four-beer
bouncer
buzz.
Who won't let him into the bar to get a new beer.
I just thought of a really cool shot for the film. It's like the camera is going down one of those ice sleds where the shots go down. You know, a luge.
Right.
You know, so like the camera comes out of the bottle, pours down the luge, and there's like someone's open mouth, but then the camera goes right into the open mouth.
Wow. I'll tell you got to get out of the frat business and into making movies. This is good stuff.
Hell yeah, Delta Food.
And the name of the movie again?
Buzz.
I see a situation where the liquor stores are closed, you're out of booze, your buzz is dropping dangerously low to underneath four beers, and we have to do something like you bust open a thing of Sterno or perfume or radiator fluid or something, or Listerine, and you just chug it to get the buzz back up. And you know what we do? In the lower right-hand corner of the movie, like the clock ticking they have in some movies, we have the breathalyzer.
Yes.
And that's kind of, we see it getting below 0.08. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then I was thinking that he hooked up with some pretty hot chicks in Havasu, right?
Right.
Next morning, he waked up. Where is he? He looked out the window. Oh, no. He's in Utah.
He's in Utah. It's a dry town.
Oh, no.
And he's like asking the Mormon, like, bro, can you help me out? Because if my buzz drops below the 4 beer point, I will die. And
they're like,
hell no.
Right, but you run into an old Mormon who has a still in the back of his barn. He remembers what it was like to be in the frat, to be ostracized.
And maybe he had the same condition. Maybe he... Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I know where you're coming from, because if my buzz drops below 4 beers, I will die too.
I see Willie Nelson in that role. That's just the first name that popped in my head. We can talk to his people. All right, we'll take a quick break. Def Rat Guy in studio. I'll tell you, Buzz, it writes itself. Buzz, name of his movie. Call in 866-901-ADAM if you need some advice from Def Rat Guy. It's something we've done in the past. He brings a sort of real-world approach to whatever problems you may be having. We've strayed away from it, but now we're going to dance with who brought us. And that is namely advice, and that is Def Rat Guy. So 866-901-ADAM, we'll talk to you after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lakewood, Colorado. A 35-year-old man was arrested after he tried to flee police and impaled himself on a wrought iron gate. The man had been caught peeping into a woman's bedroom window. Definitely not a Jew.
Yep. Jews don't get impaled. I mean, Christ was the last one to actually get impaled. I can kid because I'm an atheist. Clint Van Zandt was going to be on the phone earlier. He's a former FBI criminal profiler. We're going to talk about this JonBenet Ramsey thing with him. Then he dropped off. Now he's back on again. So, Def Rat Guy, cool your jets for 1 second. You'll be dispatching advice. But first, we'll speak to Clint. Clint?
Hey, I'm with you now. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed you earlier, Head.
That's all right, Clint. We're glad to have you and your expertise on the program. Better late than never. So what can you tell us besides I'm falling in love with this song that John Mark Carr was singing at that wedding with the super mullet in 1987? What can you tell us about the case? His DNA did not match up with JonBenet's?
Now, the DNA was never going to match up. I mean, when this guy was first identified, I didn't sleep the whole night because I thought, this guy is not the right guy. I thought everything I know about criminal investigations, about profiling, is screaming, saying you got the wrong guy, and yet you see all the prosecutors, all the investigators, everybody standing around giving each other a high five because they got this guy in custody, so you kind of get swept up in it. You say, well, if they feel that strongly, man, I have really missed something. And as it turned out, the only thing they had to go on was Carr's words himself, and I think those words could well have been manipulated by others.
Right. So, and what sent up the red flags for you? I mean, as a former profiler for the FBI, how did you know we didn't have our man?
Well, when I looked at this guy's background, I think it was obvious he could well have been a pedophile, a preferential pedophile, i.e. he liked girls, young girls of a certain age. But there was nothing in his background whatsoever that suggested a history of violence, number one. That, number two, very quickly on, I'm saying, show me that he's ever been in Boulder, or show me that he knew the name JonBenet Ramsey prior to December 25th, 1996, and I'll keep the guy in my pond of suspects. But otherwise, all we have is someone babbling on, regurgitating what he's seen on the Internet, what others have told him. But, you know, if you get this guy swear to tell the truth, he has to keep his mouth shut because he doesn't know what the truth is.
Well, when I heard his former wife said, as despicable as he is, as much as I wish this wasn't true, I was with him Christmas 96, so he definitely wasn't in Boulder. That's when I knew it was over, because when someone vouches for you who does not want to vouch for you, that's trouble.
Well, my challenge with the DA's case right now is that, okay, this professor from the University of Boulder spent 3 years talking to him on the Internet, on the telephone, I think maybe fed him information that then Carr gave back to us, and it sounded real because the professor had inside information. But the bottom line is, if the DA had that, And if the DA finds out, okay, Carr's in Thailand, he's starting to develop a relationship with a girl in a second grade class he's teaching, he could bail on us at any point and get away. Why not go to the Thai authorities and say, hey, you've got a guy who's already been convicted in the United States of crimes somewhat related to women. He's talking about having a legal relationship with a second grader. Will you stick this guy in jail, hold him for a week, give us a chance to run his DNA down and see if it fits not. If not, then you do what you want to with him or kick him out of the country, put him on the first flight to L.A. L.A. authorities will pick him up and hold him on the California charge, and his name would have never come up in the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Well, to be fair, when you speak about the Thai authorities, no one's in charge over there. So the phone just rings. Nobody ever picks up. I get the feeling when the country is big, when sex tourism is your number one industry, nobody really in charge over there. I don't know if there's, in fact, Thai authorities.
I'm curious, Clint, what is the profile of somebody psychologically that would confess to a crime? Does he actually think he did it?
No, I don't think so, because 3 or 4 days ago when they took his DNA, he said, well, you know, the DNA is probably not going to match, and then he questioned the DNA process. That tells me this guy knows deep in his nasty, dark, dirty little mind, he knows...
Well, that's my friend you're talking about. To slow down there, buddy.
We do like his singing.
I'm sorry, I like the cut of this kid's jib.
So he knew all along, so what motive would he have to falsely confess?
Three different ones. Number one, he had this need, this psychological, pathological need to associate himself, to insert himself in a high-profile crime. He had obsessed over it for the last 10 years, so he wanted to insert himself. Number two, it could be someone who he knows he's committed other crimes, offenses, sins in life, and he wants to be held responsible. Here's a good way to do it. Number three, for his own quote-unquote good reasons, he wants to provide closure to this case for the family. He's obsessed about Polly Klaus. He's obsessed about JonBenet Ramsey. He inserts himself in that, and whether it's 15 minutes of fame or as we've seen 2 weeks of fame, he has done what he's wanted to do. He has forever himself with the JonBenet Ramsey case, and now we have this basically social leper that will spend the rest of his life with people looking at him as if he has leprosy.
Well, here's the sad state of our union. He is probably dodging marriage proposals as we speak and could get laid faster than our own Brian, the man who runs the sound effects over here. I'm convinced if I just sent him out in any major city, he would get laid before you. So sad.
And guys, you got to know, too, that he'll quickly do a book deal with the professor. He'll sue Boulder for about $10 million, and he'll live in Thailand having sexual access to anyone he wants to, perhaps get a sex change operation, and he will have fulfilled the American dream.
Well, he can't leave the country. There's charges on him in California, yeah?
Well, but he's already served 6 months on those charges. So is the state of California going to want to keep... Where is this guy ever going to go from now on? Where is he going to go that he's not known? And look, like, hey, you know who that guy is? You know what he's done before? He's going to have to go on Gilligan's Island someplace.
You know what I pray? I pray that he settles out of court for a huge undisclosed sum from the state of Colorado and buys the Neverland Ranch. Sets up camp over there.
And all day they'll
thumbs his nose at society.
And all day they'll pipe in a certain song.
Sorry.
You guys, you gotta realize this is a guy who empathized with Michael Jackson and say he understands how Michael Jackson must feel. So, you know, there may be a place for him in Michael Jackson's current residence also.
Well, there'll be a place for him in hell as well, too. That's where I'll see him. Clint Van Zandt is on the phone. Clint is an FBI criminal profiler, or former FBI criminal profiler, has himself a book called Facing Down Evil. So now he's off the list. Who is next? Are we turning back to a family member? Is it a drifter? Is it somebody who knew the family? I mean, is it Dave Damashek? Doesn't it seem like we should be able to find this guy?
Well, part of it, as you well know, is that the crime scene was totally contaminated, treated horribly from day one. And once you either You once you lose or contaminate or destroy physical evidence, it never comes back again. So the evidence is what the evidence is. Now the challenge is, can you ever find anyone else to link? Now, there are going to be people like Carr coming out of the woodwork. There have been already confessing. There are going to be confessions. There are going to be Elvis sightings. These things are going to be with us. Mm-hmm. The challenge is, how gun-shy is that DA's office ever going to be in the future to finger anybody for this case? And number two, this two-track investigation. Track one says somebody in the family did it. Track two says an unknown offender did it. Well, we've got this train barreling down these tracks. The train doesn't know which track to stay on, and you and I may never find out who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Well, it is not satisfying at all, and I just wonder if all, you know, I remember the crime scene being tainted and botched with the OJ case. Maybe it's just that way everywhere, every time, and we only notice it when it turns into headlines.
Well, I tell you what, real life is not like you see CSI on television. They don't drive around in Humvees with $400 sunglasses and $3,000 suits. Yeah. These are overworked, underpaid men and women driving around wearing coveralls and driving a rusty old white Chevy van.
Yeah, if they were smart, they'd be working in the private sector. Or perhaps writing a book called Facing Down Evil. Yes, Clint Van Zandt?
I think so. It's going to be, it's a great book, so I would recommend it to anyone. It gives you an inside look both at the FBI and some in America's, the hostage situations that I was involved in, anywhere from being taken hostage in Central and South America, negotiating with Colombian guerrillas, to going head-to-head with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians.
Well, we'll look for it out September 7th. Thank you, Clint Van Zandt. Say what you will about the man. I count him amongst my friends, and I enjoy his work as an artist. I can separate the man from his work.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not a Woody Allen fan of what he does when he goes home, but when he makes a movie, I
Wagner.
Watch.
Wagner was associated with the
right,
Nazis.
Right, Nazi. But yet, that guy could play the fiddle.
Exactly. T.S. Eliot, great poet. Little bit of a Nazi.
All right.
That's why I like sports so much, because the athletes are great on the field and off.
That's right. All right. Sorry, Def Rat Guy.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in about this John Mark Carr dude.
I like the Ride of the Valkyries playing behind you, though. It adds a certain gravitas to your advice.
I think for the movie Buzz, the opening shot will have a like an exciting song. I don't know what that is, but they have
you're talking about your movie idea, Buzz.
For the it's a story of a guy where maybe it's Maverick, played by Jason Statham.
Right. But, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. We have to maintain a 4-beer buzz over the course of a long weekend, spring break weekend in Havasu, or you die.
Or you die on spring break.
No. They bury you right in Havasu. Let's see.
And there's a breathalyzer around your neck constantly, so there's no way to cheat the system.
Right,
You drop, your blood alcohol level drop below 4 beer buzz, you die.
Listen, if you're looking for investors, I'm in. So, Def Rat Guy, you going to dispatch some advice for us?
Hell yeah.
Trouble at work? Trouble at home? He's ready to listen. It's Life Guidance with Maverick, the Deaf Rat Guy.
Real world advice for a man who lives smack dab in the middle of it. Fraternity. Former, Teak over at SC, now gone off to start his own frat, Delta Fu. Paul?
Yeah?
You have a question for Deaf Rat Guy?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I'm having a hard time hearing. I don't know if I got a real hearing problem or a fake hearing problem, but every time my wife talks to me, I seem to not be able to understand what she's saying to me.
You're tuning her out. I understand. Def Rat Guy, what do you think? Trouble with the wife.
Do you ever sometimes get a little bummed out about your hearing?
Yeah, I guess I do get a little bummed out.
Can you read lip?
Oh, yeah, I can read lips real good.
So what's your problem, bro?
I'm bummed out about this guy.
Get on with your life, dude.
Bummed out about his call.
I'm bummed out about his sense of humor.
It hasn't slowed me down because you have to adapt. You have to play the hand that you are down. And if your wife sounds like a huge pain in the ass, why don't you shoot her with a potato gun?
The answer to all life's problems. Paul?
Yes.
I'm going to let you get back to your comedy writing gig, all right?
All right. Hey, can I send a personal...
No. I'll tell you what. When you can call the show and score above a 3.5, then you can send out a personal whatever. Until then, you're going to have to sit
on
it.
I can't wait till I score a 3.5 because I have a lot of personal messages I'd like to send out.
Dan?
Yeah, hi, Adam.
What's happening? Need some advice from Def Rat Guy?
Yeah. Hey, Def Rat Guy. I'm trying to find another place beside bars to meet women. In bars, you know, the alcohol's expensive. You end up intoxicated. You have a hangover the next day. It's not the best place to meet women. What alternatives do I have?
Well, bro, from the look of this question, it sounds like maybe you need to... find another. I mean, where are you calling from, bro? Hershey, Pennsylvania?
Oh, you think he's gay?
Oh, I just got that.
Well, Def Rat Guy, I'm calling from San Francisco.
He's calling from Frisco. Yeah.
Dude, I got two words for you, bro. Kangarina.
I think that's one word.
But if you let it be known in your neighborhood that you have a kegerator,
women will find him.
They will knock on your door.
Interesting.
Not the other way around, because they're like, hey, maybe this guy, we can get ice cold beer for free.
Right. So if you're a pedophile, put a trampoline in your backyard. It's going to attract the neighborhood kids.
And what if he does like men? Do you have any suggestions for him?
Well, I didn't want to get into this, but... Moose told me about a trick he did once to spice up his steak line.
Yeah.
They used a nuclear chicken wing drumstick as a marital aid.
Listen, I'm no doctor, but I think that could cause toxic shock syndrome or something.
He said it felt really good.
Oh, he used on him? It was on Moose?
The lady thought that he would like it.
She was a hot drumette on Moose?
Spiced it up.
He said he was confused. And at first, his first reaction was to punch her in the face.
Right? Oh,
sure.
But then he said he let waves of pleasure overtake him.
So somebody comes at you at the business end of a drumette, and you just let them have their way. I worry a little about Moose. I really do.
He said it happened while he was waiting, so he let it ride.
Wait a second. Isn't Moose a wrestler? He wrestles guys?
He likes to wrestle.
Was there a story about him drawing wood during one wrestling match?
He said it was in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So he blamed it on morning wood.
Yeah, but he also you said, got wood watching a Rolling Stones concert on TV.
At the Super Bowl during the halftime show.
I think he may be from Hershey.
No, Moose is not from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Keep an eye on Moose. That's all we're saying.
Bro, he's a camp counselor this summer.
No.
Camp drumette. That's what I'm saying. If he pulls out his 12-string, sits around the campfire and starts singing this one. I'm falling in love with a turkey leg. Yeah, I'm falling. Party in my tent, kids. Come on. All right. We need to take ourselves a little break. We're going to do one of our famous reenactments. Def Rat Guy, thanks for hanging in with us this morning, I know.
Hey, it's really good to be here. And mission accomplished. We got Jason Statham to be a member of Delta Crew.
Congratulations.
Right, yeah. The transporter.
Our most famous member.
Wait a minute. What about Douchebag?
Douchebag is...
Flojo?
They're not at his level. They have not
they're
been
B-listers,
in all these... And, you know, I just want to say, if Jason, your agent, is listening right now, maybe... consider playing the role of the Delta Field president in the film.
That would be awesome. And Buzz.
Buzz. It's right. About a guy who, if his beer Buzz level goes below 4 beers, he will die.
All right. Thank you. Mav, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back to do a reenactment after this.
I know what you're thinking.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault.
Yeah, this is Willie. Can I help?
Yes, I'm trying to track a package that was supposed to be delivered to my sister.
When was it supposed to get there?
It was supposed to get to her address on the 17th.
On the 17th?
Yeah, but they didn't make their first attempt until the 20th.
Yeah, well, whose fault is that? It's 3 days late. You should have sent it sooner.
I sent it on the 13th.
You should have sent it on the 10th then. Now, whose fault is that?
It's not my fault.
Oh, come on. That's your fault, not ours. You dreaming you think you're going to get there on the 13th. You should have sent it a little sooner.
Excuse me.
You should have.
Can I speak to your supervisor?
You should have sent the damn thing a little sooner.
Give me your supervisor.
Yeah, hold on.
Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Now here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, let me explain how that works. There are guys out there who get phone numbers that are one digit off the UPS number, one digit off complaint lines for airlines. And when that phone rings in their crappy little apartment, they pick it up and say UPS. And then the people start complaining, and then they start effing with them.
That is a commitment to foolishness. Sitting around your house hoping the phone rings because somebody misdials.
But you don't have to call them and talk them into anything. You think you just dialed UPS, and the guy picks up the phone and says UPS, and eventually starts calling you a fat whore. You're in. All right. It is, by the way, before we get to one of our famous reenactments, Def Rat Guy, before he left, said he came up with a solid tagline for his new movie, Buzz, which is the guy has to maintain the 4-beer buzz, otherwise he dies. He said, I've had enough of these effing gypsies on this mother effing houseboat. I think he may have taken it from Snakes on a Plane, but still, solid.
Well, I think it'll get some internet buzz.
Enough is enough!
All right, Dave, we ready to do a reenactment? And if so, what is the story?
Okay, here's the story. You may remember this from the news recently. True story of a 24-year-old businessman with an extremely rare medical condition called diphallus. It's not hard to figure out what that is. He has two peni.
Diphallus is what I scream when I have erectile difficulties.
Really?
Yes, you'll hear it echoing through the canyon when I've had a few too many beers.
This is diphallus, just the DI, and it's very rare. There've only been about 100 reported cases, and what happens is you have two penises. Now, generally in diphallus, one of them is fully functional and one of them is flaccid, and people generally get it removed. But this one 24-year-old businessman has two fully functional wangs.
Wow.
And he's very concerned.
Or schmeppies. Bruska calls them.
Mm-hmm.
I know. In my whole life, I've never used the word wang, and suddenly I've used it 4 times. Okay. He has two wangs, and here's the thing. He wants to have a normal life. He wants to get married. It's very important to him to have normal relations. So he's getting one of his wangs removed.
Oh, when you said he was having surgery earlier, I thought he was going to have a third one added. That's the angle I would work. I'm on a roll.
Triphallus.
Let's keep going. And put this one in right between the shoulder blades. I don't need it up front. I already got two up front. I like to think of myself as like a gunship. You know what I mean? I can fire forward. I'm worried about people coming from the rear.
No, he has diphallus. He doesn't want triphallus. He just wants uniphallus. Just wants to be a normal guy.
All right,
so I'm going to be the fella.
Now, this guy's
good.
He's 24. Yes. He's heterosexual.
Yeah, wants to get married, have kids, have a normal dating life.
All right, so that would be you, Dave. You'll be the one with the two penises, and who will I be?
You shall be the woman who I'm courting.
Okay.
And let's say that we met on the, you say, not by a third party. Mm-hmm. We weren't set up. Maybe we met on the internet.
We met on the internet.
Sure.
Like what? What's the, like on the
eHarmony or MySpace.
eHarmony
is
arranged.
Matched.
Us. Okay. Perfect.
All right. See, I emailed you, gave you my phone number, and we're going to arrange a date.
All right.
All right.
Let the ringing begin.
And let's remember, you do have diphthalus still.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Two schmeppies.
I'm not aware of either one of them. Well, I suspect there's at least one. Hold on, I'm in the bathroom. I'm making a number two, so. Do we only have three rings, Brian? Huh? I don't want to seem desperate.
I'll play it again.
But yeah, boot it up. Five rings.
Because you know it's probably him.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Sandra.
Richard?
No, this is Gil. From eHarmony.
Oh, Gil, yes, I'm so glad you called.
Yes, I read all about your profile, and you sound like a dynamite lady.
Well, I read yours, and you sound dynamic.
Well, Dan, you know what? Let's be explosive together.
Or if you're asking me out, the answer is yes.
Wonderful. Listen, I think that, you know, we could go out. I have a lot of fun ideas. Maybe we could go play some miniature golf.
Do you want this Friday?
Yeah. Are you free this weekend?
That sounds excellent.
Perfect.
I'll pick you up on my moped. I ride a moped. It's more of a scooter.
I don't know. My car is sort of...
Oh, this is great.
I need a lot of room. I like to, let's just say I'll pick you up in my SUV. Mm-hmm. It's a big car.
Okay.
And, bucket seats. And, you know, like I say, well, a little miniature golf, maybe some ice cream, and then who knows?
And then?
Well, I'm blushing. You can't hear that over the phone, but there
is one thing. I saw your picture that you posted on eHarmony, and except for the inexplicable camel toe, I find you very attractive.
Well, you're a handsome woman yourself. I would like to clear up one thing. It's been a little bit of an issue in the past.
Don't say it. You're Republican. That's all right. I'm a Democrat, and you know we don't have to talk politics. We're on a date. We'll just have a good time.
I voted for Ross Perot. No, it's something more, a little more personal. I've got a little something.
Bad credit report, a couple of parking tickets. Listen. I've been around. I have a few skeletons in my closet, too.
One time,
I ripped the label off a mattress just on a whim.
Speaking of skeletons, I have a couple of bones that I'd like to talk to you about.
Well, listen, if you have flat feet...
No, but you're getting closer. It is a more of a physical issue.
You got a little hair on your back, don't you? You know what? I don't mind that. A lot of my girlfriends don't like it. They say, ooh, he's got hair on his back, but I don't mind. I'll look the other way, just as long as the front side works.
So you like things that say man and then some.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Well,
yes, that's the thing. I don't want one of these pretty boys with the shaved chest and the permatan. I like a man.
Well, I'm twice the man you've ever met. I don't want to sound like I'm being figurative. I'm being literal.
Big, strong arms, huh?
I mean, I try to work out. I try to stay in shape, sure. But
two big, strong arms.
Well, I don't know if I'd call them arms, but thank you. It's flattering. What I wanted to say was it's more of an intimate issue that I've got. Physical in nature.
You're one of these guys that takes a long time.
Well, no, I don't take a long time, but the good news is there's no rejuvenation time required.
No refractory period. I love that. It's like a teenager.
No, it's like you ever watch wrestling, tag team wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Tag
mm-hmm.
one out, another one comes in.
Oh, I love to see those men.
Saying?
You have a friend you're bringing with you?
Kinda, too, I'm bringing, and it's have you ever heard of diphthalus?
I love that band. That goth rock. I love it. You want to go out and see a band? I'll go out. We'll go putt-putt golfing, and then we'll go see a band.
I guess I could go for some jazz music, maybe, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Diphthalus, the backup quarterback on the Skins?
No. But
I don't.
I have two penises.
Well, I have to admit something, too. Have you ever heard of trivagis?
Oh, no. Wow. We could have, wait, a four-way?
I have three
just
vaginas.
Just the two of us, plus a spare vagina.
I have three and two a-holes. But only one nostril.
Wow, can I bring some friends?
We'll party. I won't even know it. And scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
It turns out eHarmony really does know how to match people well.
Wow, it really, yeah, really does.
It's a
they
science.
Get into great detail.
That was powerful, David.
Right back at you.
Thanks, brother. We'll take ourselves a quick break. News and sports coming up. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, there's more, if you can believe it, more breaking news about a pedophile. It's not John Mark Carr. It's another guy that's on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, but not anymore. That and also Bruce Springsteen speaking out on his own website, and I'll tell you why.
We'll do that. We'll do some sports. Also, we'll play a round of What Can Adam Complain About? All coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show thanks Hooters for sending Big Tad to the Best in the West Nugget Rib Eating Contest in Reno, Nevada. Tomorrow night, Big Tad will go head-to-head with the top competitive eaters in the country.
His footsteps will cause an earthquake. His favorite words are all you can eat buffet.
Thanks to Hooters, delightfully tacky yet unrefined.
And he'll eat on, eat on.
For a location near you, visit Hooters.com. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Fat people are all we have left. If you used to, there was a time when you would make fun of Polish people and black people. It was a simpler time, you know. Now everything's hands off. All the religions, all the ethnicities, but we've all set our sights on fat people,
and it's still late. Get out of mom's house.
Still game on. For them, and I say,
thank goodness,
all those people that are vindictive and spiteful and racist and xenophobic, who have a sense of humor and a microphone, thank the fat man. We
and
really
also
do.
The pedophiles.
Oh yeah,
see,
yeah,
make fun of them
and
too.
Am I mistaken that then after his failure in the rib eating contest, Tad then goes on to the Bunny Ranch to make sweet love to a hooker?
He was offered that.
We're trying to sort that out. I think that's going to be a separate trip. He's going to be at Rumbullion's in the Island Bar inside the Silver Legacy in downtown Reno. Is there a place in Reno that doesn't have silver in the title?
Or gold. One or the other.
He'll be there at 8 p.m. tonight. Yes, tonight. And
wow.
Big Tad, as I walked past him overhearing him having a discussion with another person who works in the office here, and the laptop open to the ESPN site is now getting into fantasy football. He is went from hobbled as an employee to a now full-blown cripple. He has the productivity of a special needs person, but we get no points from the EEOC. He's considered able-bodied, but he's essentially hobbled. Now that he is into fantasy football, he's officially useless. He was sort of flying at half mast as it is. Now he's sitting in front of the computer making draft picks for his fairy tale football team.
He just gave everybody in here the finger, by the way.
Fantastic. I am telling you, this fairy tale football has to cost billions of dollars in lost productivity at the office place every year. Every guy between the ages of 18 and 44 who has a computer on his desk has his face buried in fairy tale football news the entire workday. And now Big Tad has joined their ranks.
Ah, so what?
All right. Shall we do some news, T?
Yes. Well, speaking of pedophiles, prosecutors abruptly dropped their case yesterday against John Mark Carr in the JonBenet Ramsey slaying. Meanwhile, today, the FBI has announced that it has Warren Jeffs. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's the leader of a fundamentalist a polygamous sect that split off from the mainstream Mormon church. He was captured in Nevada. He was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Why was he wanted for arranging marriages between underage women and older men in his sect?
Yeah. Well, you know, when God tells you to bang the bejesus out of little girls, what are you going to do? Not listen to the old man? What are you going to do? Hey, God told me I needed 50 wives and continuous oral, like the movie Buzz that we spoke about. If I do not get continuous oral, I'll die. That's what God said, so get busy and bring your daughters, too. I'm starting a cult. Is there a cult where a guy doesn't get laid? That's all you need to know about cults. It's so old white guys can get laid. That's what a cult is. It has nothing to do with religion. Religion is a thin veneer, thin veil, so I can get the job done. But the real job of the cult is for me to get laid. And it all starts off with me preaching to the flock. And the next thing you know, I get out my acoustic guitar and I sing my favorite falling song. But eventually, after going up to the mountain and doing a little soul search, and I come back with some news. Listen. Everyone, gather around, get a hand in. I just went up to the mountain. I talked to God. Know what he told me? I need your daughters. drop them off at the hi-ho, and we're going to get it on. He said I should sire many children with them, too. Yeah.
God's just speaking through you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a conduit. He just passes through me. Yeah, that's what God wants. He wants you to nail 12-year-olds.
Now, in entertainment news, Bruce Springsteen, you may remember that the New York Post reported that he was on the outs with his wife, Patty, whose last name I can never pronounce.
I'll tell you a song he should cover.
What?
The Boss should cover this one. Little acoustic version of this.
Well, Bruce Springsteen is challenging the New York Post, who said that he was cheating on his wife with a 9/11 widow that he met while organizing a charity event. That was reported last week. In a posting on his official website, the New Jersey-born rocker writes that he and Patty are still together. I know a lot of people, including your wife, Adam, were very upset that Bruce might have been on the cheating.
She broke into the into my den and interrupted precious time between me and my TiVo to make this announcement. And listen, when you have kids, you can't do that thing where you bust in a room and go, oh my God, guess what happened? Because, the dog ate the boy?
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, like when you have, Bruce is cheating.
Yeah, when you have kids and somebody calls you and goes, are you sitting down? It's always worst case scenario. One of the kids got his ass stuck in the jacuzzi drain or something like that, and he's gone. It's funny stuff, huh, Bri? It's good stuff for you. I hope one day you have a child and his ass gets stuck in the inlet of a jacuzzi.
You son of a bitch.
That's right.
Then?
And he gets a prolapse anus and you can laugh all the way to the hospital,
meanwhile,
my friend. How dare you? How dare you?
Springsteen.
Sorry, what was I talking about? Yes, my wife busts in during my precious TiVo. I set aside just a short 9 hours every night to be left alone. I put a velvet rope in front of the door of the den, and I left alone with my TiVo just from 4:30 to 1 a.m.
Ozzy's a bouncer with a headphone on standing in front of the velvet
right,
rope.
A clipboard. Corolla, I don't see your name on this list.
She goes, no, but my name is Lynette Corolla.
Sorry, try again tomorrow.
Well,
she came running in and said, guess what happened? Bruce has cheated on you. Then she broke down a heap. Of course, I laughed heartily, and then I decided to use it is a nice, set the table in case I ever cheat. Well, you see what happens. Even the great ones stray every once in a while.
Well, this is for Lynette and all the other Springsteen fans. Right off his website, quote, due to the unfounded and ugly rumors that have appeared in the papers over the last few days, I felt they shouldn't pass without comment. Patty and I have been together for 18 years, the best 18 years of my life. We have built a beautiful family we love and want to protect, and our commitment to one another remains as strong as the day we were married.
See? He overdid it.
You think?
If I get accused of cheating, I'll do the, I release a statement where it's like, yeah, me and Lynette are still, we're together. Hey, we got problems like every couple. She's okay. I mean, we're doing all right.
You're not going to oversell it.
Well, let's face it, we're not newlyweds, but both of us too lazy to break up.
Yes, I always...
Then I believe him.
Right.
But he says he's just as much in love today as he was on his wedding night. Now I'm calling him a liar.
Seems unlikely.
The boss is lying.
The lying boss. Well, I always thought Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt had an interesting take, because they would say in interviews, we're going to be together until it's not fun anymore. And then we're not. and that seemed promising.
Yeah. Okay. He had more fun on top of Angelina.
Exactly. A British radio station polled its listeners and came up with what they say are the 10 greatest guitar solos ever. We played some of them. I want to play you number 9. Mm-hmm. I like this one. Are you ready with this, Brian?
Out of order, yeah.
Oh, the Eagles.
This is good.
What? Eagles blow.
What?
Humongous.
I like it.
Gorilla ass.
All right, let's move on.
If I hear this, this is right in the middle of my list of songs I never have to hear again in my Eagles entire life.
How do you feel about the number 6 greatest guitar riff?
Jethro Tull.
Nope.
Aquila.
That's actually the 8th, but Brian, very close.
Yeah, I like Tull.
How about the actual 6th?
It goes into a good, it goes in, this riff that's coming here is good. I don't know if it's a riff, it's just, it's a free jam, man. You couldn't understand it, Dave, because you're too buttoned down.
Too square.
Okay. All right. Got the piano there. Sure.
Number 6.
Zeppelin, yeah. Stairway to Heaven.
I'm skipping up to number 3 because Brusk is rushing me.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably so.
What about number 4? All right.
Freebird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, come on, give Skinner their due.
Right here. This is a good guitar solo, no?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I like Skinner. Oh, what do you want your...
go pick up, baby!
You want your Mighty Mouse?
Pick up a Built a Spill record and listen to Doug March.
Cool. Go listen to your Radiohead with the rest of your cool friends.
Do you guys want to hear
what was number 4? I want to know why Brian was pissed about number 4.
It's a weird choice. I don't know the song.
Van Halen? I'm pretty good at this game.
You know the name of the song?
Yeah, I'll tell you why I know this song. Because when I bought speakers from a guy in a van at the Bank of America in 1984 and brought them home to my apartment that me and the Wheeze and my buddy Chris were living in on Laurel Canyon and all decided to take the day off work and smoke the weed and play with slot cars in the living room. I came home from the bank after bouncing a check. I had to go there because I bounced my rent check. And then I came back with these speakers. I said, Wheeze, I hope you're good and baked. Plug in these speakers. And he put this Van Halen CD in, and we cranked it up as loud as it would go. And I couldn't hear anything. I could no longer hear sound, only vibrations. And I felt this coming from my front door.
Who was it?
I started screaming at Don, turn it down. I think someone's banging on the door. So he turned it down to about this level. And I opened the front door, and it was Jim. Our landlord.
He wasn't happy.
I had bounced the rent check from the month before. It was a Tuesday. It was the middle of the day. It was noon on a Tuesday. I flung the door open to expose the slot car set that we had set up in the living room, the huge bong in the infield, and the two rabbits that Donnie had bought earlier that we were letting running free in the apartment with a kitten that he got at a supermarket that was chasing the rabbits around, and the rabbits were defecating everywhere. Now, our buddy Chris had the dignity to hide in the bedroom. He literally just hid. I was standing there in a towel. Don was standing there in a bathrobe. And he was appalled.
And Van Halen was playing?
This is the song that was playing. And he just said, is this what goes on? Is this what? And I said, I assure you, this never goes on. I took the day off work, Donnie, whatever. And went ahead and bounced that check to him as well. That's the part I remember.
Well, now I like the song a lot more. Yes. Eruption by Van Halen.
That's right. It was should have been called Eviction.
Two rabbits, a cat, a bong, and speakers.
A slot car set like the Hanson brothers from Slapshot is what we looked like. And it was a one-bedroom apartment, so when you opened the front door, it was right into the living room. We just looked at the slot car and a smoking bong. And then went on to explain to us that we were getting complaints from neighboring buildings.
Can't imagine.
Neighboring buildings. The folks in our building were too intimidated and didn't want to say anything. But the folks in other buildings, other apartment buildings, were complaining about our unit with reports of sex and animals running free.
And there were animals.
There were the rabbits, and then there was the kitten, and the little kitten would attack the rabbits. It was the cutest thing ever. Eventually, Donnie let the rabbits free up in the hills of Laurel Canyon. I'm sure they're eaten that night by coyotes.
This is a great guitar solo, but I should probably play the number 1.
Please.
History repeats itself. Try and use
now this I can agree.
this you can get behind.
This is not the number one. Here is the real number one.
Comfortably numb.
That's right.
I gotta believe, well, it's a British radio station.
Yes, a British, so they picked a British group.
Probably wouldn't have made the list out here in the good old US of A. Baby
like
doll.
Well,
nice job.
Thank you. I'm Teresa Strasser, uncomfortably numb. And that was the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Who does this British magazine think they are to put out a list of what they think is the best? Who cares what this what they think is the best of anything?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a list of the best guitar solos coming up soon. Now, quickly, national pastime. Big series in Chavez Ravine. Dodgers won last night over the Cincinnati Reds. So they're now three up in the NL West on the Padres, who lost to the Snakes in the Valley of the Sun yesterday. Padres, though, still just a half game back in the wild card. Junior circuit. A's now 6.5 up on the Halos. Things don't look good for them. Big news for USC fans. One, Carson Palmer, Heisman Trophy winner, looked great in the first half in their exhibition game last night against the Packers. Mixed bag for Matt Leinart, also Heisman winner. He apparently has knocked up his USC girlfriend basketball player.
Oh.
And they got a little bun in the oven. Mm. And now,
athletic
the other thing.
Little bun.
Apparently, Edge James, the new running back of the Arizona Cardinals, is upset with me about something. We heard a press conference. I'll play that in a second. I mentioned who I thought should be the number one pick in the fantasy draft, you know, whether it's Sean Alexander or LT from the Chargers or Larry Johnson or Tiki or whoever. I guess Edge thinks he deserves that, and he held a press conference earlier today.
So-called experts are saying this, that, and the other about who's the best toter of the pigskin around. LJ, LT, Alexander, Tiki. What about your old pal Edgy James? This Damashek maroon is trying to give me the hi-hat, the bum's rush, a swift kick in my unmentionables, and so on. I've been around the block once or twice myself, I'll have you know. What's more, my gams is right as rain, and they're ready to take me and the rest of this ball club where we need to go. You savvy? I'm as good as it gets. Period. End of story. Tiki my foot. Excuse me. Hello? Mr. Sheldrake. It's Mr. Sheldrake, my agent. Yes, but this Damashek said I wasn't as good as... I see. The underdog approach, you say. Shock the world, eh? You're really using that melon of yours. Good day. Well, fellas, like I was saying, a sap like me's just lucky to be playing the game. Anything more than that would be the stuff of miracles, storybooks, maybe even a motion picture. I'm no stranger to acting, you know.
Wow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Was Edge James.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your dad thought you were going to be a doctor. So sad. We need to take ourselves a break. But the good news is, when we come back, we're going to play a spirited round of what can't Ooh. Adam complain about. You call up with things that you would think no man on this planet could complain about.
Now, kittens
I will complain,
and bunnies.
I will complain about the kittens, the bun. I'll tell you one thing that's nice about the bunnies. Poop comes out like Pez. You can clean up with a 9-iron. Just chip it right into the neighbor's yard. We'd sweep it up. Those bunnies would crap everywhere. And here's the thing about a bunny. Bunny can crap doing anything. Running, walking, sleeping, or eating. You know what I mean? If you think about the range, human beings, very limited by our ability to crap. We got to be planted on a pot or out in the woods somewhere. Animals do it on the run. I wish I could do it on the run.
So you would delight in the rabbit poop in between your vigorous homosexual lovemaking sessions with the Weiss.
How dare you?
And I'll tell you. In towels in the middle of the day.
Slot cars.
Running around.
If you're stoned, slot cars hold up pretty nicely. I mean, it's still a fun game.
Do you remember the name of the kitten or either of the bunnies?
Well, the cat's name was Max because the cat we eventually was a kitten. It was a tiger kitten, and it used to wrestle the bunnies. And the bunnies would just go into this sort of hibernation state where they would just ball up and the cat, the little kitten would pounce on it and pull on its ears and stuff. It was cute. And then the bunny would take off and the little kitten would go chasing after. It was a tiger kitten and it went to Donnie's mom's house and it went on to live a good 10 years and got renamed Max.
it was called Bong Water or something. We was a douchebag or something, but got named Max and led a good life up in the Laurel Canyon Hills. The bunnies, not so lucky. Released into the wild, and I'm sure eating that.
And by wild, he means they got the Richard Gere treatment.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. What can Adam complain about when we return?
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on The Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
What's up? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Hey, we got a hell of a show tomorrow. Dave's Jerk List. Also, porn star Brittany Rears. Whoa, can we say that? Rears? Also, the family from Orange County Choppers, the Tuttles, and Mr. Brightside. Hell of a show, peeps. Out.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. Well, I think I'm all complained out from complaining during the break about Big Ted. Here's all I'm saying. Big Ted got his computer open. He's sitting in the kitchen there. I walked past it 5 minutes ago. He's checking his fantasy football league tally. All I ask is that there was a time when people... For as long as there's been work, there's been people shirking. When they were building the pyramids, I'm sure there was a Jew or two who was just sitting on one of those boulders taking the load off. But when the evil Roman guy came around, they popped up and started schlepping them bricks again,
yeah,
right?
You made it look like you were tying your sandal or something.
That's
really
what you do.
Resting.
That's what you do. We're now in a place where people don't work with impunity. They thumb their nose at the boss man. When you're looking at your NFL football, fairy tale football, when you're on the computer tallying that up, at least have the dignity to flip it down or do something else when the boss man comes walking behind you so it's plain. That yes, Big Tad.
Click it to another website.
That's
too.
Yeah, right. Have the click. Other one ready.
Well, the guy was standing right there and he was asking me about my...
The guy... Who's the guy? A guest on the show?
No, it's one of our workers here at another station. But
so
he was asking
somebody
me about
works
my,
for another station me. Was talking to you about fairy tale football.
No, it's fantasy football. He was asking me a question
about
it's my team.
It's not Big Tad, it's Fat Tad, and it's not fantasy football, it's fairy tale football.
It's Big Tad.
Much more demeaning. Fat and fairy tale. Go ahead.
So he was asking me about my team. I showed him. But I'm also doing work out there,
and
too.
How about when I come walking behind you?
Did you sense that Adam was coming behind you and could see what was on your screen?
Well, yeah. But the guy was standing right
have
there.
Have the decency
about
to
it.
Pretend you're looking something
he
up,
he continued
though.
His discussion about
I didn't
was,
be rude
about drafting
guy.
Kickers and continued looking. At least have the dignity to switch to a porn site. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Enough. Now off with your belly. Where were we? We were going to play. Yes.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right. You call in. You throw out topics. I don't know what they are. I'm going to start at the top and move my way down to the bottom. Greg.
Hey, what's up?
Topic, please.
How can you possibly complain about finding $20 in a pair of pants that has just been freshly washed?
All right. Well, for me, yeah. $20 is nothing. I'm literally a millionaire.
So it's essentially
like finding a Post-it note in my pocket. I just light a cigar with it and keep walking. That's all.
You can get a sandwich and a beer.
Yeah, I guess so. But I will tell you one thing that is that does suck about making money. When you find money, when you have that windfall thing, when you find that bucket of change in the Sparklets bottle that your roommate left behind, or you pull out the sofa cushions and find something, or you do the thing where you pull the pants out and you find $20. Mm-hmm. No big deal. I floss my teeth with money, crumpled up, and throw it at the homeless. Thank you. Flojo?
Yeah.
Flojo from the Delta Foo calling.
Oh. How's it going?
Topic, please.
My topic is, how could you possibly complain about sluts? And not, they can't be related to you.
Well, I couldn't. Yes, they can. In fact, they are. They're all honorary Corollas, at least. I couldn't complain about it up until about 10 weeks ago, and then my wife gave birth to a young slut. I don't mean slut, but I'm like Lycus. I know all women. Is that? No, I have a daughter now. Now it's weird. Now all the things I thought about, all the things I did, and all the things I wanted to do are going to come back to haunt me. So sad. That's why I'm sending her to Japan.
Not Taiwan.
No.
Thailand.
No, they have a certain reverence for the hymen over there. They worship old people in the hymen. That's what they do over there in Japan. I want to raise in a culture, not this Hollywood culture. What, I want her hanging out with Paris Hilton and listening to all this pop music and sitting on the internet looking at bizarre pedophiles and stuff. And no, I don't need any of that. I'm either going to Utah or Japan. That's where I'll be raising her. I'll put an ISD in line. We'll still do the show. Brian.
Hello.
What's your topic?
How could you possibly complain about Fallen?
Falling the song?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be almost impossible for you.
No, I know. Hold on. I don't know if I'm familiar with this one. Falling. I'm falling. Well, I can't complain about the song itself. The repercussions of me singing it all day, every waking hours I walk around the house. The fact that I'm going to get divorced because I can't stop singing Falling to my young twins and just around the house in general. That
Mom,
is...
that's weak. Come on.
That's weak?
Yeah,
don't
that's
make
weak.
Me
Come
start
on.
Complaining about you, Bri.
Uh-oh.
Or I'll convince my good buddy, Damashek to put you on the jerk report or jerk list. Well, that's another complaint for another day. Jack Silver?
Ace Man, the only thing falling around here is our ratings.
Oh, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. All right, let's see. Let's keep pushing on here. Joe.
Yeah.
Topic.
Let's see. You can't complain about the future.
I can. I'll tell you why. Because I'm not going to be around. I can complain about the future. A, I'm not going to be around. And I'm not one of these pussies that wants to leave a better world for our children. I like to use up every drop of oil we have, burn off every ounce of ozone, use up every natural resource there is. And then when it's gone, here's the deal. When I die, I want to be eating the last can of beans on the planet. I want it all gone. I want everyone to go with me. That's the way I want to do it. I just, when I go, I hope everything just turns to dust around me and we all go at the same time. That's my master plan. And as far as the kids in the future, I don't believe all of them are our future. We need to modify that statement, the children are our future. Really? Young Charles Manson, young Hitler, young Tad, our future? I don't think so. I think it should be some of you will be our future, not the children. Probably the lion's share of you aren't going to do squat living off the dole. Probably never move out of your folks' house. A lot of you are going to OD before your 21st birthday. The more you know. Thank
From
you.
From your mouth to God's ears.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Thank you very much. We're going to take ourselves a little breakaroo, and we'll be back with more stimulating conversation.
There's some Built to Spill for you.
Oh, is this Built to Spill? Wow. When you and your bohemian friends get together at your coffee houses to yes. smoke the herb and look down your noses at the rest of society, so this is what you listen to? Is this your... just the soundtrack of your life?
Yes. Well, of course, I, like everybody else who listens to good music, we do it to be cool to the rest of the world, to mm-hmm. be holier than thou.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we take a five-minute break?
So when you're not complaining about President Bush or eating your space cakes, this is what you listen to.
I'd like to answer, but Brusca's getting here.
We gotta take a break.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Friend, the Ed, calling in from Las Vegas.
Hey, Adam.
A seasoned man of color brings a lot of street wisdom to the program. Good to talk to you, Ed.
Hey, how you been? I ain't talked to you in a while.
I miss you, brother.
Yeah, I hurt my hand. I had cut it real bad on a pork and bean can, and I had a surgery on it.
Yeah.
Wow, surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, they cut the, from the finger to the thumb.
Mm.
Yeah, it hurt pretty good.
Yeah. You can't open those with a steak knife. You got to use a can opener, Ed.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys know it's almost football time?
I hadn't heard about that. I'm so wrapped up in baseball. Only 80 more games to go, by the way, in the short 400-game season.
30.
Yeah, they play a lot. I think like 326 games they play in baseball.
Is it that little?
Yeah.
Feels like more. So you're going to be doing a little gambling this year, Ed?
Yeah, in Las Vegas, you can sign up for a lot of contests, and I done signed up for like four or five of them. You can win like $30,000.
Now, from you calling from Vegas, who's your team? When you live in Vegas, what team do you go? You go with the Cardinals? But they blow. What are you going to do?
My team is whoever I bet on that week.
Ah, I like that. And your woman is whoever you bet that week, yes?
I'm not with it no more. That stuff ain't happening no more. It's football time. Enough of them women.
Well, you were dating the white chick with the kids who lived in your building last we spoke.
She's a widow.
Ex-boyfriend. Yeah, ex-boyfriend. Somebody shot him.
Well, I got married.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had got married for 4 weeks, and it's over now. It ain't going to work. So I'm back with my girlfriend, and me and her are trying to work things out like, you know, good people do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing.
All right. Well, you hit a rough patch. You got your hand cut off. You got married and divorced since we last spoke 5 weeks ago. But the point is you got the parlay card in the good hand, and it's time to do some winning this year, yes?
I'm ready. You guys need to make some bets. You send me your money, and I'll put it on there, and we'll split it 50-50.
Well, we'll use you, Ed, during when the season fires up, because Dave's going to be... We went 11-for-11.
That's right. NFL postseason. Yeah, the Ed and I, maybe we can go head-to-head. We can have a gambling competition on air.
Head-to-head. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up with What Have We Learned after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Aloha, this is Laird Hamilton. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
That is my boy. Well, all right, just enough time left for a new segment called So, What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned I need to start a cult. So I can get laid by teenage runaways. We've learned that I wish I could crap on the run like a rabbit. You'd always be able to find me. Where's Carolla? Follow the Dookie Trail. There he is. And we've learned only some of the children are our future. Not all. A select handful. I'll decide who they are. Well, that's about it.
Good times.
I want to thank Jason Stratham.
Statham.
It's really like you're drunk and someone's holding your tongue when you try to say his last name. Jason Statham. Crank. Out on Friday. I want to thank Hooters for flying Big Tad out. And he has to be flown. He can't fly commercial aircraft. He has to be flown in one of those tanker planes, the ones the fire department uses in the forest fires. He's actually dropped over Reno.
Poor Reno.
Big Tad. All right.
Operation Tad Drop.
We'll take a little break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying... That was funny, T.
Thank you.
Mahalo!